Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot out, brown cow, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing. Hey, boss, you know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
I'm back. Hey, good morning, everyone. Elton Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 720 AM. Filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. And as I have for the last two previous mornings. And we will be here until 5 AM. So I hope that if you are a regular listener to this show or this slot of time, I hope you will stay tuned and enjoy what we have to offer here and spend a little time. Whether you're an insomniac, whether you are up feeding the baby, or whether you just like to stay up and listen to the radio. When I do this shift, I sometimes dub it the, you know, like the Frank Sinatra album in the wee wee hours, but it's a different accent. It's not the wee wee hours. I don't know about you. For me, it's the wee wee hours. Usually between 1 and 5 are the wee-wee hours, if you know what I mean. Not the wee-wee hours, but the wee-wee hours. I'll leave it at that. But, yes, hopefully you will stay tuned until 5 a.m. Because, as I said, I sort of teased with Patty a few minutes ago about today's show. We're going to try to do a little something a little different. I've tried to do that every day this week, if you have been listening. On Wednesday morning, we celebrated the 4th of July, but we didn't talk about hot dogs or recipes or craft beers or... We did talk a little bit about cornholing, but that's a whole other subject. No, I meant the game. The bags game. How the heck did that name... did that game be called cornhole? A lot of people don't call it corn. The producer tonight's Dan Long. He's been with me for the last couple of days. You've heard that term, right? Cornhole, right?
Yeah, I've heard it called...
But, I mean, do people still call it that? Because it was called that when it first started to catch on. And now I think everybody just calls it bags, right?
Yeah, most people I know call it bags.
I just like to say cornhole.
Yeah, my guess would be, and this is just a pure guess, is the original bean bags were probably filled with corn.
Or maybe they were throwing corn cobs into the holes. If this was developed somewhere on a farm.
That seems like it would be a tougher game.
Well.
Unless it was a cob-shaped hole.
Right, but why would you get cornhole then? You know? Well, let's not get into this. Anyway, bags, right? Bags. That's what it's called. I had to laugh because I went to Las Vegas last month, and I was shocked to see. You know, Las Vegas is getting very... mainstreamed. You know, several years ago, they were trying to go after the families, and that's what they were doing, trying to get more families to come. They were opening amusement parks and trying to be more family-friendly, and that really didn't work. And now they're clearly going after the millennials, which makes sense because they're the new group that has the money to spend. But I was shocked because when you think about Las Vegas, especially when it was founded, I mean, Bugsy Siegel with the Flamingo Hotel. I mean, Vegas for many, you know, for the beginning of its of his existence was always kind of a place where it was an adult playground, and people would get dressed up and they'd go out at night and they'd be wearing suits and ties and tuxedos, and it was fun and frivolous, but there was also a standard of formality in terms of how people acted and especially how they dressed. Women would get dressed up in mink coats, and like I said, guys would be wearing suits and ties and even sometimes tuxedos. Well, that has totally changed. Now Las Vegas is every minute is Casual Friday, and even the casual of Casual Friday in Vegas is wow. It's almost like you just walked out of your bedroom. The way people are dressing and walking down on the strip now, it is a far cry from the heydays of the Vegas formality, as I said. I mean, just watch the original Ocean's 11 with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and Dean Martin and Joey Bishop and Peter Lawford, and see the way everybody dressed. I mean, that was filmed in Vegas. So that was what it looked like in the 60s. But now it was so casual. And when I went there in May, the weather was just getting a little warmer. It was in the 70s, and it was so casual around there that it felt like it was just one big kind of like picnic or like Naperville Rib Fest. It just looked like that's what Las Vegas was now. Everybody had, you know, cargo shorts on and flip-flops, and women were, you know, had these, you know, their cut-off jeans, really short cut-off jeans. I don't know if that's made its way here, but wow, there were some cutoff jeans that I saw in Vegas back in May that I don't even know if they could count as shorts. But it just looked like kind of like a neighborhood fest, you know, like Rib Fest in Naperville or something. And what really tipped it for me was, so here we are at Caesar's Palace, right? Which, you know, has always had, there's a lot of different hotels that are much more casual than usual, but Caesar's Palace is one of the old school places, and you always feel like, you know, it's a little step above in terms of, you know, the way people dress and the kind of the clientele, you know. It's a little more like old Vegas. It's not overly formal, but if you have a scale of it, it certainly is a little more formal than some of the newer hotels. But once again, they're obviously succumbing to this and going after a different market. So there's this little open courtyard where there's an outdoor bar, and it's close to one of the entrances, and there's a restaurant there, and it's just kind of this open kind of courtyard. And I've been going there for on and off for a couple of years to see Elton John when he was performing at Caesar's Palace. So I knew this area because this is the same way I would always come in. And when I went there the last time, in this open courtyard, there were three stations, or whatever you want to call them, set up for bags. And I was like, wow, Caesar's Palace wants people to just play bag. There's the bag. It was right outside of an outdoor bar, and they're figuring, well, people are having some drinks. They want to play some bags. And I was like, wow, what would Bugsy Siegel say to this? I mean, wow, I felt like, where's the barbecue? Where can I get like a turkey leg or a buttery, corn, like at some of these neighborhood summer fests? It really felt, it had that feeling about it. But when I saw the bags game, I was like, wow. But anyway, like I said, I've been trying to do something different. Like I said, the first night on 4th of July, we did a... We weren't talking about bags or recipes or craft beers. We were talking about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and what the whole 4th of July meant, and passing on little facts. We even took our own Constitution test here. And yesterday we talked on a variety of different subjects that were fun. And so today, today was warm, even though I know it rained and things have cooled off, and the next couple of days are actually going to be nicer. Temperature's a little lower, at least into the 80s, but I guess, yeah, I was watching Tom Skilling. Yeah, Micah. And it's going to be in the mid-90s, the upper 90s again, starting on Monday or Tuesday. So in the midst of all this hot weather that we've had over the last week and surviving, and my gosh, has it been muggy and oppressive, I thought we got to do something to get some relief. And so that's what today's show is going to be all about. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to do the big reveal. I teased it yesterday, and I just teased it with Patty Vasquez. And what the overall goal of this morning's show, until 5, will be amidst all this hot weather, this muggy, oppressive weather. We are in the dog days of summer right now, earlier than usual. Usually the dog days of summer are usually around August when we've had, you know, a long, hot summer. But we've already had a long, hot summer, and it's only, you know, a month in. So I thought we might need a little relief and a show that would be cool and refreshing. And that's all I'm saying until we come back from the break, okay? So stay tuned and find out the answer to that riddle. Amazing sports memorabilia, just one problem. It's all fake. How the FBI cracked a $20 million con. WGN-TV investigates Monday at 9. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio here until 5 o'clock. So as I said, on the other side of this break, we will reveal what the rest of this show and what the theme is going to be about. And I hope you're going to like it. We'll be back right after this. No switching.
I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. So
Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 7:20 a.m. And that song should give you a hint as to what today's theme is going to be until 5 a.m.
On that evergreen bough. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, and I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder.
Christmas in July. That's what we're doing today. Christmas in July. Can you believe? Think about it. In only 5 or so months, it's going to be probably snow on the ground. Certainly in the 20s and 30s. It's hard to imagine when we're sitting here and, as Tom Skilling said, wow, we've got some really soupy dew points, like 74, which is really high. Yeah, Micah. It's going to be lower tomorrow, but yeah, it's been hot. Yeah, yeah. And so I've been sitting here the last several days sweating at the thought of the hot weather. And then when I go out in it, it's even worse. And I was just thinking like, oh, what I wouldn't give for it to be 30 degrees, or maybe 40 isn't too bad, 35. And maybe a little white snow and maybe some little jingle bells. And I said, you know what? If the Hallmark Channel can do it, then why can't I? Because right now, this week, I was clicking the stations, and the Hallmark Channel has been playing all of their Christmas movies for the last several days. And so that was the motivation. And I said, you know what? If the Hallmark Channel can have Christmas in July, then why can't Elton Jim have Christmas in July? So we're going to celebrate Christmas in July and maybe make you feel just a little cooler. Maybe just get visions of sugar plums dancing in your heads, even though we're sitting and looking outside and seeing the oppressive heat and the snow, or I mean, and the sun. And, you know, everybody's watering their lawns, and we've had these flash rains where the floods, and I think we need a little Christmas. So that's what I thought we would do for the next 3.5 hours. I hope you'll join me for an Elton Jim's Christmas in July. In fact, several years ago, my wife and I celebrated Christmas in July, and we exchanged gifts, which was really cool. So maybe that gives you a little impetus to have a little Christmas in July thing. And maybe you'll go out today or sometime in the next week or so and buy your significant other or your husband or your wife a little unexpected Christmas gift. Why not? Christmas in July. We need a little Christmas right this very moment because, my gosh, 93 degrees today. I think on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, 94, 95, 96, humid again. Oh, just think how cool it would be to have a snowball fight right now. So that's what we're going for. We'll need a little Christmas right this very minute. So we'll talk a little Christmas stuff. I'll play some Christmas songs. Well, hopefully, if you can, we can share some Christmas memories. I've got a few questions I'd love to throw out to the audience. Once again, as always, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to join in the conversation or make a comment about something, please do not hesitate to call 312-981-7200, or that's the same number for the text, and a few people have been texting throughout the last couple of days, and I appreciate that. And we've actually had, considering the time of day here and the hour here, we've had a nice little slew of phone calls throughout the last couple, 3 days. So I appreciate your interest and your close, attentive listening, and I hope you are appreciating the entertainment they were trying to provide you for these 4 hours, the last couple, 3 days. So thanks for joining me. If you've been here since Wednesday, if this is the first time you're just clicking around the dial, what the hell is this guy talking about? We're talking about Christmas in July. That's what we're talking about. So stay tuned. We're going to have a little fun. Now, what I was talking about, I was mentioning cornhole, you know, bags, and somebody just sent me something about where the name came from, because I was wondering, you know, Dan Long, our producer today, and for the last couple of days, we were wondering where, you know, the term cornhole came from, because the bags game, which everybody plays now, was initially called cornhole when it was beginning to gain in popularity. That name certainly has enough double entendres that I think bags has become the official name. But let me just see here now. So this is from area code 630. It says, cornhole bags. The name comes from the burlap bags, as they were filled with field corn, and the kernels were hard and not soft like soft corn. So that's why they had the burlap bags. So
that was technically right.
Kind of what you were saying, Dan. Well, I have to be impressed with Dan because, I mean, he knew that. And yes, and the other night when we did the Constitution test, you did pretty well on that as well. So kudos to you for, now I don't want to know how you know the official history of cornholing.
Yeah, no, don't just get on and Google cornhole.
So what I want to get you into the Christmas mood, Christmas in July. And so one of the things I was wondering about, maybe after the news here that we'll do in a couple, 3 minutes, are there any funny or embarrassing Christmas moments? I mean, we're going to have fun with Christmas, but this is an Elton Jim Christmas, so there's going to be a little sarcasm and a little dark side to this. It's not going to be all, you know, puppies and rainbows. We're going to, a little edge to our Christmas here, you know. I mean, come on, at the end of the day, I am a curmudgeon. I'm not a Grinch, but I'm, you know. But I do love Christmas. I do love Santa. Oh, I love Santa. When we decorate our house, it takes me 2 days to put up all the stuff, and it takes me almost 9 or 10 hours to take everything down. We have a couple of trees, and the house has all these Santas. I love Santas. I have a lot of Santa dolls. In fact, I don't know, can people look, are people able, now since we've moved to the new studios, can people watch on the on the web still or no?
Yeah, I think the stream should be up and running as far
as I
know.
So if the stream is up, you will notice that I'm already in a Christmas in July mood if you go online and watch, because I've got my Santa hat on. And if you watch at the beginning, I didn't want to give it away. I did not have it on before I officially announced the Christmas in July show. I'm a stickler for detail. But I've got my Santa hat on. And so I'm in the Christmas mood. I'm going to hopefully get you in the Christmas mood as we try to get ourselves out of this heat funk and think of more cooler, frostier times. Oh, don't need air conditioning. Just need a little Christmas right this very moment. So if there was anything crazy, any memorable thing, any time the family gets together for any kind of an event or a holiday, It's always a recipe for something embarrassing or funny or memorable to happen. So I'm just wondering if you have any kind of anything that happened that has become legend in your family or with your friends that just happened by accident on a holiday that now it's like, oh, there's Uncle Sam. Then remember when that happened or happened to you or your parents or something. So if there is kind of some embarrassing, funny moment or a memorable moment that has now become part of your family's lore at the Christmas time and you want to share it, I'd love to hear it. I've got a couple that have happened to me and in my family over the years, but I'd love to hear yours as well. So once again, 312-981-7200 or the text, same number, as we celebrate Christmas in July and Elton Jim Christmas in July.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street,
oh, you gotta love Burl. Say hello. That's how I know it's Christmas. When I hear Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas, that is the official anthem for me. I'm Jim Toronto, filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'm playing that because we are celebrating Christmas in July for the next 3.5 hours or so. I just figured amidst all this heat and all this humidity, and it was oppressive the last several days, and it's going to be oppressive into next week as well. I was just like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to have a snowball fight? Wouldn't it be great to be able to make a snowman? Wouldn't it be great to look outside and to see the trees all just dusted with white snow? And I said, well, what the heck? If Hallmark can do it, if the Hallmark Channel can do it, they've been playing all their Christmas movies for the last week or so. I said, if Hallmark can do it, so can Elton Jim. So welcome to Elton Jim's Christmas in July. And I'm already feeling a little chill. My nose is already getting a little red. I could feel it. I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm feeling it. I hope that I'm able to convey that to you as well. As we and this Christmas in July thing is, you know, I didn't come up with this. As I said a few years ago, my wife and I actually did a Christmas in July. We put up a little Christmas tree in July in our house, just a small one, and we exchanged gifts, and it was really fun. So maybe you want to try that, especially as I said, given the weather that we've had here. Boy, we can use a break from this, and it doesn't sound like we're going to get one. So if we can't get a real break, let's try to get an imaginary one and pretend it's Christmas. And it is Christmas. You don't have to pretend. It is Christmas. Hello, you old building and loan. Later in the show, in fact, we are going to bring Christmas alive for you. About, it's been a while now. I would say about 10 or 11 years ago, I was in a production of It's a Wonderful Life, and I played Mr. Potter. Hello, George. And so I've got my official script here, so I thought it might be fun a little later in the show to do a few scenes with of Mr. Potter and George. If you remember, some of the great scenes in that movie are between Mr. Potter and George Bailey when they sort of go at each other. George's inherited the building and loan, and Mr. Potter wants it, and so they're always at odds, and there's some really fun scenes in there. So I thought that I would read those scenes for you, and I'll play both roles. A few years ago here at WGN, I did a one-man show of A Christmas Carol. I did all the parts. And boy, that was not easy on the old pipes, folks, but I had a great time. So I thought I'd bring my script in, and we'll do that maybe around the 3 o'clock hour. So once again, I got to do this to keep you guys tuned in. I can't do everything at the beginning of the show. I got to keep you, got to string you along, you know, just the way you string popcorn when you decorate your Christmas tree, right? Of course, because
so let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
It's Christmas in July. Oh, isn't it just fun to hear that music right now? I saw Pitbull was in Naperville. You going to compare Pitbull to this? Come on. So, as I said, 312-981-7200 is the phone number, 981-7200. If you have some memorable thing that happened to your family on a Christmas Day or Christmas Eve that now has become family lore, there's a couple of things that stick out in my mind the most in terms of that. And well, it's actually three. My dad passed away. It'll be, let's see, 13 years this year. So I say this with all respect and love for my dad, but it's a great story. So one Christmas, let's be honest, between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, a lot of eating goes on and a lot of merriment goes on. And so I guess I'm assuming that, my dad loosened his pants at the table while, he was eating. And, for these long, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day dinners, you're at the table for a long time. You're just sitting there and you're talking and you're eating and then you have the dessert and the whole thing. So you're at the table for a while. Well, I guess, after a couple of days, he loosened his pants. And he must have forgotten that he loosened his pants. And so, after sitting at the table and eating and having coffee and having a few Yuletide toddies, if you will, nature calls. And so he gets up from the table, starts walking, and his pants fell down. And I mean, everybody just, and my dad was kind of the life of the party anyway. So this wasn't really out of character, but I mean, you could see that he was not aware until I think he took a couple of steps and the pants kind of got caught because he couldn't keep walking. And he looked down and went, whoa. And everybody saw. And then apparently as time went on, this became a common thing because I remember one time we were at a wedding. And he was dancing with my mom. The same thing happened. So he wasn't a flasher, believe me. I think he was just looking for some comfort. He should have bought elastic pants. He should have worn tracksuit or something. So that's one of the more embarrassing, but one of the fun stories that we now think back about at Christmas time when my dad's pants fell down on Christmas Day. Dan, can I just go to one of these calls here? Let's talk to Robert here. How you doing there, Bobby?
How you doing? Great show as always.
Oh, thank you, sir.
My dad passed away too about 10 years ago. And real quick, what I remember about my dad, and it was always around Christmas time, he was a smoker. Now, back in the day, there was actually lighters in your car.
Oh, definitely, now, yeah. Now,
he would light his cigarette,
plug something in to get electricity in that lighter. But before, there was actually a lighter. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I still own the cars. I'm 60 years old. I still own three of my cars that I bought in high school. Yeah, I still own them to this day.
Wow.
And there were lighters in your 69 Camaro Rally Sport, okay?
Right.
But my dad would light his cigarette with that cigarette lighter, shake it like it was a match, open the window, and throw it out the window.
Oh.
And I was like, Dad, you did it again. What? I go, the lighter just went out the window. I go, and that's what I started buying him for Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
was I would go to the auto store and buy him like 6 or 7 or 8.
Oh, how funny.
You know,
oh,
car great? Lighters that, oh, great. Yeah, those are my fond memories of my dad.
Oh, well, there you go. That's too funny. I didn't know that they actually made replacements for those. So you just bought replacements then, right, for those lighters?
You just go to the junkyard, pick up a whole bunch.
How funny is that?
Yeah, and nowadays people, a lot of people don't smoke. Because we talked yesterday about marijuana. Now, right, when marijuana right. becomes legal, everybody's going to be smoking again. And other people.
Well, then you'll get your Christmas. You know, I'm sure then people will be getting Christmas bongs for Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But I always tell people, especially this past week. Now, I mow my own lawn in Oak Brook, okay? And thank the Lord, but I'm on 2 acres. And I mow it with a push mower.
Oh, wow.
I mowed it yesterday. My wife came home and yelled at me. What are you, stupid?
Yeah, that was very hot. Yeah, that was.
I was
picking weeds the other day in the yard, and my gosh, I was out there for about an hour and a half. And when I came in,
soaking wet.
My T-shirt, I put it downstairs, you know, by the washing machine. It's still wet from two days ago. It has not dried in the basement before it goes into the washing machine. It's still down there, and it's still wet. Yeah, so be careful, because that was dumb for me to do. But, my gosh, if you're cutting grass, oof.
Yeah, it's dumb. But my best thing is I tell people, I thank the Lord it isn't snowing.
Well, so I know, and believe me, I hate snow. I hate shoveling snow. I hate driving in snow. But I've just felt like the last several days, especially earlier in the week, it was oppressive when it was like 97 and 98 and it was so hot. And I was just like, oh, I just need some cool air. And I just started thinking of Christmas. So you're right. In December, we will be thinking of when it was 90 and wishing it was. But we never get what we want. So right now, now that it's warm, we're wishing it was cool. When it's cool, we're going to wish it was warm. But I just thought we'd have a little fun here having Christmas in July, because it has been so oppressively hot. I'm just thinking of snowball fights.
You always get what you want, even when there's 2 feet of snow on the ground and you wish it was 90. The opposite in the summer. If you live in Chicago, that's the fun part about Chicago. I talked to a guy yesterday. He goes, I'm from Arizona. He goes, this is nuts.
Yeah, no kidding.
He goes, we don't have this kind of humidity. I go, come back in December, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll show you a good time. All right.
Great show, buddy.
Thank you, Robert.
Take care.
God bless you guys.
Okay. Who we have next here? We've got Jim talking about some annual Christmas pranks. How you doing there, James?
Real good. Yourself?
Very good. Having fun. It's Christmas in July. Got my Santa hat on. I'm digging the holiday.
We have a Christmas party for my in-laws every year, and it's traditional. We set a chair up in front of the tree, and Santa Claus passes out the presents. I play Santa Claus, and each person sits there, and we hand them their presents, and we got the video camera going. Well, that year we brought my mother-in-law an oversized box filled with a bunch of old china glasses and a brick in it, and she wondered the whole time, you know, that we were having dinner and everything, what did you guys get me for Christmas? You shouldn't have got me anything that big. My God, what do you got? What do you got? And we had it set up to where when she sat in the chair for me to come and bring her presents, that someone would trip me and I would fall with her giant present that she's been wondering about all day long. So here it goes. I get the present and I'm walking toward her, and my brother-in-law sticks a foot out, and I fall with this thing, and it sounded just like it was supposed to, a bunch of china breaking, and the look and expression on her face, you know, it was like, come on. But we do a thing like that every year.
Oh, that's cruel to be kind, right there.
Someone in the family gets pranked, you know.
Wow.
The Christmas party's at your house this year. We'd all go to your house. No, it's not. It's at Ma's house. You know, so we have fun with Christmas.
Well, that's fantastic. And that's what's so great about the holidays is that, as I said, you get a chance to get together. And sometimes it's a great when a family is like yours. It sounds we have fun with each other, and you're always pulling each other's legs. And then a lot of times things happen at family get-togethers that aren't always as fun as well. But it sounds like you guys certainly, have the Yuletide going.
Yeah, right. That good food, good times should be like that all the time.
Yeah, very good. Well, happy Christmas in July, James.
Thank you much. Great show.
I can't wait. If I'm going to be on later on in the year on Christmas, I want to hear what your prank will be this year.
There you go. I'll give you a shout back.
Very good. Take care.
All right. Later on.
And, you know, it's so funny. He talks about that. So what we used to do at Christmas, especially when there was little kids in the family, we were older now, but the next generation of little kids, I think people call this game White Elephant. some people. We called it gags, where you have a bunch of gifts, then you steal gifts from everybody. And the way we did it was, we would, similar to what Jim was talking about, it wasn't a prank, though. So everybody would, bring about 5 gifts, but they were gag gifts. They were silly. They were not cool gifts. They were kind of stupid gifts, but you would wrap them up in beautiful boxes. And so they would look very appealing, and there would be big boxes or small boxes. And like one year, just like Jim was saying, and you'd feel them if they were heavy or not. Oh, this looks like it might be a cool gift. I put a brick in a box one time, but just, decorated it beautifully so everybody would want that gift. And the whole idea was that what would happen is that we'd put all the gifts, we'd be at a big long table, and we had about, 15, 20 people, and we would have put all the gifts in the middle, and then we would just roll a dice. And so someone would say, okay, what's the number? Okay, the number is 7, okay, or whatever. So now you'd roll the dice. If you get 7, you can grab a gift. And everybody would go around the table and roll the dice, and as the 7s would come up, then everybody would take a gift until there were no gifts left. And then we would say, okay, now we're going to be stealing gifts for the next 20 minutes. And so it was the same way. Now there'd be a new number, or the number would change. And if you got a 3, now 3 is the number. If you get 3, you could steal somebody else's gifts. And then because of the way that certain gifts were wrapped, or the heft of them, or how big they were, or how pretty they looked, it was so funny. No one knew what was in these things. But all of a sudden, oh, I want that box. That's the box. Certain boxes would become, popular for some reason within the game. It made no sense, but then that one box would make its way around the whole thing. We'd have a time limit, and then you'd open them up, and it was just a gag gift. It was, a piece of candy, or like I said, I put a brick in one, or there's some little things that you have gotten for a birthday or Christmas presents in the past that you just kind of kept for a while that you never really wanted. And so throughout the year, what we would do is if we got little gifts or we saw little things, we'd make a gag bag. And collect them throughout the year. So when Christmas came, we would always come with about 7 or 8 different things. So we knew at least we would have a good gags game. Now, we knew what were in the most of the gags if it happened that way, so it wasn't as fun. But everybody used to bring them, and we would have some pretty – and, of course, it was most fun because, as I said, I'm a kind of a curmudgeon. So when the little kids would play, they would be all excited, and they'd be stealing the boxes. And then if I would get the number, I would steal the box from the little kids. And they would be almost crying because – they got like 3 or 4 boxes, and I'd say, Mark, give me that box. And you'd see his face just drop. That was my Merry Christmas. But we had a lot of fun. Carol's on the line. Carol, hold on a second. I'll come back because Carol's got a gag gift story, so I want to hear hers, but I have to take a quick break. We are celebrating Christmas in July here. Jim Toronto, Elton Jim's Christmas in July. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'll be here until 5 a.m. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back to enjoy Tis the Season. No switching. Jim Toronto here at WGN. I was just reading the text there. I'm sorry I was a little distracted. But it is Christmas in July here on the radio show. We're going to go to the phones right here, and here is Carol. You've got your own gag gift story. Merry Christmas, Carol.
I want to think, were you at my house and I didn't see you or something? Everything you're talking about is everything we did at my house,
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what my mom did one year is my cousin was working out. He's like in 6th grade. So she went and got the steel plates, the weights,
Right.
And she taped them all up and she decorated it like a cheesecake.
Oh, like, cool.
Here you go, George. He's trying to cut through it. He couldn't cut through it. And he's like, Jesus Christ, Aunt Jeannie, you don't make that bad. But it was just the weights. He didn't realize.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so.
We're all laughing at him. But your story is the best because that's the best way families celebrate. All fun.
Yeah, well, like I said, what's so funny when you play that gag game, once again, nobody knows what's in these boxes, but
exactly.
But certain boxes become the favorite box within the game.
We were like, my mom would, she always would say, always, no more than $5. And then, we always had some stragglers that had nowhere to go that would come over. And there was always more for someone else if they came. And you can get a toilet brush. You can get anything.
Right, exactly. And that's the exact kind of gifts. That was the whole idea. It was gag gifts. It was just kind of like, you know, funny
smiling,
things.
Everybody having a great time.
Yeah, and that's what the holidays are all about. And so not only is it about the weather, but, you know, in these dog days of summer, too, when it's really hot like this, people are just kind of, you know, it's one thing to go out and go to a picnic, but, you know, when the weather gets just hot, everybody's just kind of so lackadaisical. You're just kind of walking around, and you're not really enthused. And so I thought it might be fun to just think about Christmas, even though it's not going to be here for 5 or 6 months. But it might be just fun, and like you're saying, bringing back some memories. And then maybe do you still play gags at the holidays?
Absolutely.
Oh, very good. Well, that will be fun, too.
Well,
so
if
now
you do, too, and if you, I don't have children, but if you do, please teach them and share that with them.
Oh, yeah, the traditions are always important to pass along to the next generation. I've always felt that is the case.
Well, I called in earlier because my radio isn't working, so I'm on my cell phone. I go, put me on hold. I want to listen. I was going to do my other thing. You know, I don't know what your conversations are about, but I was going to say, what were your favorite, I don't know how old you are, I'm 48, but what were your favorite things for 4th of July? You know, I'm thinking smoke bombs, this, and that. Now,
hit that button there, would you? Whoops, sorry, Carol, we can't say that. I appreciate that, Carol. Were you able to hit the dump button?
I think I got it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I've gotten pretty quick.
Yeah, because you know what? I don't know where the dump button is here because of the new studio, so I'm hoping that you got that. Yeah, Carol, I appreciate you feeling so comfortable in our conversation that you would just swear. But we're still on the radio. We still can't do that. We still have some FCC rules here. We're not on satellite. But I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your sentiments. And Merry Christmas in July. And that's what it's all about here, folks. We're celebrating Christmas in July on the Elton Jim's Christmas special here, filling in for Nick DiGilio. And as I said, in the next half hour or so, right after the news comes up in a few minutes, what I also thought about Christmas, we've had some little funny moments there, as I told you about, you know, my dad's pants falling down. And some of our gag gifts, and I would love to take the gag gifts away from the youngest kids in the family and just watch their faces. And that's how I got my reputation in the family, as being kind of the Grinch. But at the same time, I wear a Santa coat and a Christmas hat when you know, for Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. So how much of a Grinch can I be? Although that is true. The Grinch did have a Christmas coat and a Christmas hat. Maybe I am more of a Grinch than I thought. But as I said, in the next half hour, I thought, staying with our Christmas theme of Christmas in July, what was the, you know, everybody talks about the best gift that they ever got. And we all remember that. Especially when you're a little kid, you really wanted something a lot. And we could talk about that. But what I thought, a little interesting twist on that is, since it is tis the season to give. And I don't know about you, but I always enjoy giving presents. I mean, it's nice to get presents, but I tell my wife many times, please, I don't need anything. I really enjoy buying gifts for other people and tailoring them to and really hopefully getting them something that they really would like or something they never thought about getting, but really does fit what, you know, the kind of person they are. And I really take my time in deciding what to get somebody that I think would be a present that they would like. So I was wondering, not about the best present you ever received, but what was the best present that you ever bought for someone else when you took your time and you thought about it and you gave it to them and then you saw that look on their face and you knew that you hit a home run with that. So I'm wondering if you've got any of those. What was the best Christmas gift you ever gave to somebody, and what was the story behind that? So if you've got a story like that, I'd love to hear it. 312-981-7200 as we celebrate Christmas in July. Elton Jim's Christmas in July show. As I said, I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio. He will be back next week. I'll be here until 5 a.m., and then after that we'll do the opening bell. And then Justin Kaufman is filling in for Steve Cochran at 6. Jim Toronto with you. Welcome to an Elton Jim Christmas in July show. With all this hot weather, I thought, if we ever need a little Christmas, we need it right this very moment. So for the next 3 hours, we will continue to be celebrating Christmas as much as we can here in July. So I hope that you will snuggle up, put on your favorite onesies, light a fire, even though it's 80 degrees outside, and have a hot toddy, and join us as we celebrate Christmas in July. If the Hallmark Channel can do it, so can Elton Jim. I have to say, I've got a couple of texts here concerning, I guess, the term Christmas in July. As I said, I certainly didn't come up with it. Let's see, the 847 says that... Or is it? Let's see. Where did now that it just popped away here? But apparently, the term of Christmas in July came that by July you were still paying off your credit cards from the past Christmas. So 7 months later, you were still paying off your Christmas cards. And I also got another text that someone said many years ago their family threw a party for. I believe it was their brother, who was going to Vietnam. And so he was leaving in July, and so they weren't going to spend Christmas with him. And so they threw him a Christmas in July party before he went off to war. So how cool is that? So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Christmas in July. We could really use it in terms of this hot weather, but we can always use a little Christmas spirit, right? And that's why you're staying up, to enjoy Christmas. Because when the sun comes out at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, it's going to be back to summer, and oh. Holy Schwitz, and I'm saying Schwitz, that's okay, that's a Yiddish word for sweating. So, let's see, we're going to go to the phone here, because Russ has a little Christmas story. Good morning, Russ, how you doing?
Good morning, Jim. It's going pretty good.
Very good, so what's going on?
So, I was telling your producer, like, the first year that me and my wife were together, when we started dating, I bought a star. You can go online and buy stars and have them named after people.
Oh,
and,
Yeah.
Right. I bought it for the first Christmas we were ever together. I had it framed. It's got the coordinates of the star and everything. And then I was telling them another year, she had this dog for like 14 years. And he passed away. She was pretty upset about it. So I had a collage of pictures that she had. I had a collage of pictures made of him. And I had his collar. I had his collar framed.
Nice.
Pictures, yeah. And he's up in our living room. But, yeah.
Cool.
I figured, hey, I got to make a good impression somehow, right?
Yeah, well,
hey,
my gosh,
she married me.
Well, between a star, you've got the heavens as well as the
right.
Framed dog collar. The idea that Russ is referring to, as I was saying, we often talk about some of the best gifts that we received ourselves. But I thought it would be interesting to share some of our memories, like Russ has just done, about some of the best gifts that we felt that we have given others, because it is the season of giving, and so that's great. So now, can you still see the star?
You know what? I haven't tried because, you know, we live in the city, so, you know, it's got all the light.
The light.
But one of these days, we're gonna go out to where we can see all the stars, and I'm going to see if I can find it. I got to find the coordinates. But I love Christmas, but I don't. I'm a truck driver, so, and I work the third shift. So
I don't blame
you. I love Christmas, but I don't like driving in the winter,
especially
in the Midwest.
Oh, I can't stand driving. I was thinking about it. I mean, I hate driving in the snow. It's always slow, and I can only imagine. I give you so much credit. You truck drivers, I don't know how you do it, especially, like you said, in the winter. And especially, now, do you drive across country or just in the Midwest?
No, I started out driving across country, but now I work locally. I drive mostly local and through the city. And, you know, the furthest we go is like Morton, Illinois.
Oh, so did you ever drive like through the mountains in a truck?
Oh, yeah. You know, I went through North Carolina, where Asheville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
There's mountains up there. You go through like a part of the mountain, and I was going to South Carolina. I was hauling a 44,000 pound forklift on the back on a low boy trailer.
On a low
and
boy.
I was going down. Yeah,
you were hauling
six
a low
and a
boy.
No, yeah, well, yeah. I was hauling.
I don't know what you're talking about,
back.
But it sounds cool.
Well, it's a trailer. Like truck drivers out there know what I'm talking about.
No,
but
I like
hauling
that.
A.
It's cool.
I was hauling a forklift down to South Carolina one year, and I was going through Asheville, and there's a 6.5% grade when you're going down into the mountains.
Oh, my
God. Now, mountain driving is very, very, if you ever see those runoffs on the side of the highway.
I mean, that is the scariest. The first time I drove through the Rocky Mountains, I wasn't aware of what those runoff things were. I thought it was for people jogging. I didn't know what
they were. They're for us truck drivers.
I know.
So we don't go off the side of the cliff.
And the fact that they build those and are expecting trucks to go into that is the scariest thing on earth. And then basically it's just a big pile of sand for your truck to stop in, right?
Yeah, basically that's what it is. It brings the truck to a complete halt.
Oh, that is the scariest. Just to see those are scary because then you know that someone's going to use one.
Yeah, I've actually seen one or two trucks in them before, but, you know,
it is what it is.
You know, it's part of the job.
I give you a lot of credit for driving that. But so that's great. So you bought your wife a star, and you also did a nice thing about her dog that passed away. So
I had a lot of pictures made of them, and I put the picture, you know, collage in the frame with the collar. I had the frame custom made by a frame shop, so...
Yeah.
And I think she actually enjoyed that one more than the star.
Yeah, but that's still cool. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Jim. We'll talk to you later. Love the show, man. Keep up the good work.
Take care. And let's go to Beth. Got an interesting gave an interesting gift. How you doing there, Beth?
I received an interesting gift.
Oh, you received one. Okay.
It was one of the best ones ever. My husband and our two sons.
Was it the egglet?
No, I'm not sure what that is.
Have you seen those on TV where you can make an egg without breaking the egg, the egglet? You haven't seen that?
Oh, sure, yes. I'll check into that, see if I can get one somewhere. but anyway, so my husband and our two sons and their girlfriends went out for a nice dinner pre-Christmas. It was the night before Christmas Eve. And while we were there, my sister called, which was strange because... It just kind of was. She lives in Hawaii, and she says to me, "Do you have your suitcase packed yet?" And I'm like, "What?" You know, I was just so confused. I thought maybe she was confused. But my husband, which it was a total surprise to me, and I'm difficult to surprise, he had made all of the arrangements. We flew out Christmas Day. I think we were there for 10 days.
Oh, nice.
And he even called my supervisor to make sure it was okay that I wasn't at work for the few days that I missed.
Oh, so, very nice. Wow, that was now that's a major one. I'm sure he got some major brownie points after that one, huh?
Yes. Yeah, he did. He did.
Nice.
It was a very, very nice trip.
So the surprise was kind of ruined though, right? When they asked you if you had packed, though. So what did you think when they asked you that question?
Well, that was part of the whole deal.
Oh, really?
Call up and then pretend like, oh, my gosh, I wasn't supposed to say anything.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah, they had it. They had it all worked out. Both of my sisters were aware. Of course, my husband's boss was aware. My supervisor was aware. And it was very, very nice.
Oh, wow. And you had a great time, huh? Which islands did you go to?
Well, okay, so my sister lives on Oahu, and she's been there for years, but let me just tell you this one thing real quick. We happened to be there for New Year's Eve. People out there, and I don't think they do it so much anymore, they shoot off the fireworks. I couldn't believe it. They live on a cul-de-sac. The cul-de-sac was so smoky. It looked like a London fog. It was incredible. So, yeah, the whole thing was
awesome.
Lovely, lovely job.
Well, that's a great memory, and that's a nice job. Boy, I tell you, your husband, that's pretty tough to top. What did he do the next year?
I don't remember, right? I'm sure it was just as sweet.
Well, very nice.
Maybe not as expensive, but just as sweet.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing, and Merry Christmas in July.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
Take care. Well, wow, that's not bad. A Hawaiian vacation. Whew. And setting it all up. Not bad. Not bad at all. As I said, you know, it is the season. We always talk about, we remember gifts that we got. But like I said, what were some of the, what do you think was one of the best gifts that you ever gave? I've got one that I will share with you after the break, which I think it can rank right up there with some of those. I don't know about a Hawaiian trip, but for my wife and I, it certainly I thought was something that was fun to do. So I will share that with you right after the break. Right now, let's see here. 100 events, 19 days, and one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience this August. I'm Jim Toronto, filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'll be here until 5 a.m. And you are in the midst of an Elton Jim Christmas in July. With all the hot weather we've been having lately, I thought we could use a little Christmas right this very moment. And so that's what we're going to be doing all this morning until 5 a.m. Be playing some Christmas music as I have in and out of the breaks, and sharing some Christmas stories. And just, hey, you know, I know it's July, and Christmas sounds like it's a long way away, but you watch how fast Christmas comes. So let's get a head start on it. And hey, maybe this will motivate you. As I said, my wife and I a few years ago did Christmas in July, and we exchanged presents, and it was pretty fun. So, hey, what is it? It's, July 6th? You still have, what, 24, 25 days to still do a real Christmas in July if you want? We even put up a tree up in our house when we did Christmas in July. So might be something to think about. Anyway, Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. We'll be back right after this message. No switching. Merry Christmas in July. It's an Elton Jim Christmas in July here at WGN Radio, 720 AM in Chicago, filling in for Nick DiGilio. You know, I just thought, with all this oppressively hot weather all in a row here, I know the next couple of days it's actually going to be a little more seasonably cooler and a little more manageable, but then right into next week we're back into those high 90s again and that high humidity, and I just thought, oh. Just think about when Christmas comes. And I said, yeah, you know what? Christmas in July. And then I was clicking around the stations last week, and I noticed that the Hallmark Channel has been playing all their Christmas movies for Christmas in July. So I said, you know what? It's in the stars. I was thinking of snowball fights. We're doing a Christmas in July show. So I appreciate everybody that's been calling in and sharing some of their favorite Christmas stories about, you know, fun little family Christmas traditions, or some of the best gifts that you may have bought for somebody. I like to share one of mine. We were talking, I think it was Russ who was talking about he bought his wife, or at the time his girlfriend's dog had passed away, and he made a collage of pictures of the dog and actually had the dog's collar frame, which is really a nice gift. Mine is somewhat in that that kind of area there. About 3 years in after, well, about 5 years or so after my wife and I were married, we moved into a home, our first house. And so for that Christmas, we always were always talking about getting a pet. And so I bought her a stocking. And in the stocking, I put a card that said that this card can be exchanged for one Christmas cat. And so my Christmas gift to my wife that year in 1995 was our cat, who turned out to be our beautiful calico cat named Thames, named for the river in London. I love London. We both love London. We've been there many times. We went there on our honeymoon. And so we named her after the Thames River. And we had Thames for about 17 years. And, just missed her to death. She's been, I think this year will be 6 years since she passed away. We have a new cat now, Grimsby, and we love her just, you know, we just love her to death. But, we love Temmie so much. In fact, we have the same veterinarian, and every so often we visit the vet with Grimsby now, and he'll just say, oh, remember Thames? She just was one of those cats. And our veterinarian was so sad when she passed away that he even sent us flowers, which I was really touched by. And so, yeah, I would think of all the gifts that I've given my wife over the years, and I've known my wife for many, many years, and we've been married almost 30 years now. And I knew her 10 years before that. But I probably think the best gift I ever gave her, at least the one that I think is the best one that I ever gave her, was when I gave her Thames for Christmas. And we certainly do miss Thames. We love you, Grimsby. Yes, we do. She's my little girl. But Tammy was our pretty girl. And, wow, she just was, you know, we raised her from a kitten pretty much. And so we'll always remember that. And I still have the card, and we still have the and we even on our fireplace, we have a stocking for Grimsby, our current cat. But we also have a stocking for Thames, as she is always in our thoughts and our lives. And so, like I said, that was a Christmas gift, I believe, in 1995. The gift of Thames. And yeah, it's really fun to, I said, I'm one of these people that I don't really get into to receiving gifts. I've always been, I mean, when you're a little kid, you love getting gifts, right? But, you know, as we get older, and even for birthdays, I'm just, and my wife likes giving gifts. So, you know, it's kind of a, a little soft spot with there, because she wants to give gifts. And I'm always like, you don't need to get me anything. Because I'm one of those people that, if there's something that I really want during the year, I just get it. I don't wait until Christmas. And these days, I've done some major, as I said many times in the radio over the last couple of years. I used to collect a lot of stuff and had a lot of stuff, and was not a pack rat, but was, you know, if time went on, I would have been on the spectrum of a hoarder. And over the last couple of years, I have got into a major decluttering mode. And over the last year or so, really just be getting rid of stuff that just don't need anymore. And oh, it's been so cathartic, and it's been so great to just sort of do that. And so you know, I just like, no, I don't want, I'm what I'm saying now, I'm not collecting things anymore. I'm collecting memories. That's what I want to collect. That's what I want as a gift. Memories. I don't need stuff anymore. And I, as I said, I got rid of like 50 bins we had in the basement, and you know, bags of garbage, of just things that you always kept, and you, at the end of the day, you looked at it and said, I really don't need this stuff. And it, my key phrase when I was looking through all these bins and deciding to throw stuff out was, if it's lost its luster, it doesn't pass muster, and into the garbage it went. As I said, wow, have you ever done a major cleaning in your home and in your garage or something? Oh, it's almost addictive. You actually get off on throwing stuff out. And then everything, you feel like everything's just, you know, pressing against you. You just want to get rid of stuff. And that was the mode I was in. And now I'm really happy. I mean, for the first time in our basement, and our basement's not finished. It's just a place, you know, for, you know, the utilities and to store things. For the first time since we live in the house, there's echoes in our basement because it's not filled with junk anymore. Our basement echoes. And so, but like I said, my wife does like to get, and she does a very good job in getting me gifts. So don't get me wrong. And she still finds a way to give me gifts, but I'm like, you know, let's, you know, we don't need to keep bringing stuff in. We need to be getting stuff out. But then I say the same thing, and then I enjoy giving her gifts. So, you know, who knows? But as I said, we always think about the gifts that we get. But a lot of times, just telling that story about Thames reminded me of that Christmas and how that was such a special gift that for both of us. And we still, you know, as I said, that, you know, Thames was such an important, our pet cat was so important in our lives and still is, and we still talk about her and think about her, and there's pictures of her around the house and things. And so, yeah, I think back, just as I was telling that story, I was like, yeah, that's right, I remember Thames was a Christmas cat. So yeah, if you have any of those stories, I'd love to hear them. 312-981-7200, 981-7200 is the phone number. For the next half hour, I was also thinking, since we're talking about getting gifts, and especially at Christmas, it is for the kids, right? And you always think about those toys that you got, and oh my God, what a great Christmas that was. I'd love to hear if there were any Christmas gifts, especially when you were a little kid, that you really wanted and didn't get. Very similar to like Ralphie in A Christmas Story, where he wanted the Red Ryder BB gun, And he kept throwing hints and throwing hints. And then when Christmas Eve came, it seemed as if he didn't get the Red Rider, BB gun. And then all of a sudden, Darren McGavin, as the father, major great move there. Look at the corner there. I think Santa brought one more gift that you didn't see. And even the mom didn't know. And he's like, hey, I had one when I was a kid. And he got his Red Rider. Was there a gift that you really wanted when you were a kid and you were throwing all the hints to your parents just like Ralphie did in A Christmas Story and you didn't get it? Was there one? I'd love to hear what it was if you did. So give me a call at 312-981-7200. That's the fact, or the text line as well. So if you want to text it, that's great. But I'd love for you to get on the phone because it's radio. We love to engage. We love to talk. So give me a call if you've got any of your Christmas stories you'd like to share, especially if there was a gift when you were a little kid that you really wanted and you didn't get it. Wah, wah, wah. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN, 720 AM in Chicago. It's an Elton Jim Christmas in July. As the warm weather, just oppressively warm weather that we've had over the last week or so, and it will continue into next week from what I'm hearing, I just felt like, you know what? I wish it was 30 degrees, and once you start thinking about winter, of course, you start thinking about Christmas time, and so I was thinking of snowball fights and Christmas trees, and I said, hey, let's just have a little fun here and with the radio program here and do Christmas in July. The Hallmark cable network is showing all their Christmas movies this week, so why can't I have a Christmas show? So I've got my Santa hat on, and we're sharing some Christmas stories. Those of you who listen to me with any kind of regularity or follow me on Facebook, you know that one of my Christmas traditions on Christmas Eve is, of course, to have my annual Christmas drink, which is Maker's Mark. I cut it sometimes with just a little Coke, but sometimes I'll just do Maker's Mark straight. I love Maker's Mark. It's one of my favorite. I'm not a big drinker. I don't drink, you know, a lot of mixed drinks, and now apparently, and Dan Long is a producer today. Are you a drinker, Dan?
Sure.
No, I mean, like a hard. I mean, I'm sure you're a drinker. I mean, your face is always red. I can see that.
I was in the sun yesterday.
No, but I mean, I know. I mean, but in terms of, like, you know, not just beer, but are you like a hard liquor kind of drinker?
I'm not like a snob or anything, but yeah, I'll drink some, you know, bourbon or, you know.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
So like what's
Scotch
your,
once in a while.
What's your drink? Oh, a Scotch man. So
but
like,
I'm mostly a bourbon guy.
So what's your drink of choice?
You know, whatever's around. You know, I like a little Knob Creek or Bullet are usually my go
to so you
bourbons.
Go to for Knob Creek?
Yeah, whatever's on the, you know, reasonable shelf when I get to the liquor store.
Yeah, like I said, I'm more of a Maker's Mark. I mean, and it's just because there was a friend of mine that we were at his house one time for 3 or 4 days, and he used to drink Maker's Mark. We'd go out to restaurants, he would order Maker's Mark. And so I said, oh, well, let me have what you're having. And I was like, oh, that goes down pretty smooth. So that's become my my Christmas Eve bender, if you will. In fact, 1 year. I'll never live this down, too. So on Christmas Eve, my wife and I are just spend it together. So we usually have a small little meal with just stuff to nibble on. You know the way the holidays are. So we'll have some cheese, and then we'll have some like an antipasto plate of some different, you know, meats and stuff. And we'll just nibble around. So we buy quite a lot of different kinds. You know, mortadella and and salami and soppressatas. You know, a lot of Italian meats. And cheeses and stuff like that. And so my wife makes a nice, presentation. She folds it all this special way. But this one Christmas Eve, for some reason, we usually do it like at 5 or 6 and goes into the night. But for some reason, I was feeling like a little thirsty. And so like at 3 PM, I said, you know what? I think it's time for a little Maker's Mark. I'm going to start early this year. So I get out my Maker's Mark, and I brought, you know, I had like a, you know, a 2 liter of Coke, because I, like I said, I cut it with a little Coke, so it's not straight. Do you do it on the rocks, or how do you do it, Dan?
Yeah, I'll typically do it maybe a couple ice cubes or just a splash of water.
Yeah. And so I had, you know, the Coke there, and so for some reason, boy, that Maker's Mark that year was just going down real nice and real smooth. And so I started about 3 o'clock. By 4:30, I passed out. I had my Santa hat on, which I have on tonight to celebrate Christmas in July, and I had my Santa coat, which I wear. And by 4:30, I was laid out on the couch, and I woke up at midnight. So I mean, all of Christmas Eve. So my wife had the whole, you know, and but so I was drinking in the living room. You know, I didn't think I was drinking that much, but they were going down pretty easy. She was preparing all this. These meats, this antipasto plate, and the cheese and everything, and I totally, you know, just pass out, and woke up at midnight. So we didn't eat, and now my wife, I wake up on the couch, she's in bed, she went to bed. I'm like, what happened? I missed Christmas. I mean, I talk about bad Santa. I mean, my gosh, I was. So I've never lived that down. So now I still have my tradition, but I don't go hog wild.
Yeah, that's a lot of damage in an hour and a half.
I'm not a big drinker, like with hard liquor like that, and I don't know why, but they were just going down, and I could tell, because you know when you start to really get a little tipsy, you start talking louder. I could hear myself talking louder. I'm like, uh-oh, I think I'm getting to that spot here, and I just laid down on the couch and woke up, and then of course, I just slept for like 7.5 hours. The greatest thing was, I don't know how much I drank in actual alcohol, but when I woke up, I mean, I was up for the day now because I just slept for 8 hours, so my whole body clock was off, but I did not have a hangover at all. I felt fantastic. I was up and about, and my wife, you know, calls down. She goes, "What's going on down there?" I was like, "I'm wide awake. I'm ready to eat." And but wow, and so the best thing is, and we have this framed. She took pictures of me laying on the couch.
There you go.
When I was knocked out. Oh, my gosh. I look like I was shot. I mean, I've got the mouth is out the side, you know, and the hat is all crooked. And I, you know, it's over my eye. Oh, my gosh. It is like bad Santa. But
not a cheat. That should have been the Christmas card for next year.
I know. It really, I know. We still have that. It's not a bad idea. We still have that picture. And every so often we go through the old pictures. It's like, oh, yeah, there it is. I can't believe it. I think it was like 2012 or 2013 was the year that happened. But, wow. I don't know why. And I do pull it out every year. And I go, okay, it's time for my Maker's Mark. And she just gives me this look like, should I start to even make the antipasto plate? Or are you just going to, you know, I'm like, no, I'll be fine this year. But wow, I had no idea it was going to hit me that hard. And I just slept like a baby. When I woke up, it's one of those times when you wake up and you didn't even know where you're at. That was what this was. I'm not joking. 7.5 hours. And I woke up with more energy, not a headache. I felt fantastic. So Knob Creek is yours, though, right? That's a pretty good, you know, bourbon there.
Yeah, Knob Creek or Bullet.
Yeah, what's Bullet? I don't know what that is.
It's kind of on the same, you know, same price range.
So I don't even know this stuff. So where does Maker's Mark fall in there?
Yeah, I would put Maker's kind of in that category,
is
too.
It?
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty accessible, mainstream, you know.
I like the red wax.
Yeah.
In fact, my wife found this last Christmas. She found online on one of these websites where people make stuff, a homemade, but it looks perfect. Like you bought it at the store, I thought she did. A Maker's Mark bottle as an ornament.
Oh, really?
A small little ornament, and it's got the label and it's got the wax on it. It's perfect because that's become sort of my holiday tradition. And then another story, which is funny, which I've told on the air a few times. So we had, when we first got married, we lived in a condo and we had a real tree. Cause when you first get married, everybody, you gotta have a real tree. Nowadays, we went to tree time. We got a trees. It takes 2 seconds. It's pre-lit. Zip, zip, boom, boom. Fantastic. But, you know, when you get married, oh, you go out and get a tree together and that whole thing. So we have a ton of, as I said, I love Santa Claus. And so we have a ton of ornaments. We have over 200-300 ornaments. And those, they're those Hallmark, those heavier ones. They're not just like little light balls. They're like, you know, these ornaments. And so I fell asleep one night under the tree, not drunk this time, just fell asleep. And at like 2 or 3 in the morning, all of a sudden, there's this sound, and I feel something on me, and I'm wrestling with our tree. The tree fell on me. It's a real tree. And at first, I don't know what's happening. I just heard this noise because our tree was so front-loaded with all these ornaments, because you don't really put a lot of ornaments on the back. You always put them on the front so people can see them. And this thing started, you could see it. It was kind of leaning forward. Well, something, I don't know if I kicked it or just, you know, the weight of these ornaments tipped it, but it tipped over. Don't forget, a real tree. So all the water in the stand went all over the place. So I'm sitting in water. When the tree fell on top of me, as I said, my first reaction, I heard this noise and I felt this thing on top of me. I don't know what it was. So I started wrestling with the tree and shaking the tree. So, of course, now the needles are going everywhere, the water. And then I was screaming, I guess, because I don't know where I was at. And then I realized what happened. My wife comes running out because, like I said, I fell asleep underneath the tree. She came out of the bedroom running, "What's going on?" Now she sees me, and there I am laying underneath this tree, you know, on top. It was a big tree, too, probably, you know, 6-7 foot tree. Sitting on top, the water from the stand is all over the carpet. There, I'm filled with needles. I got hit by one of the ornaments on the bridge of my eyebrow, and I actually got a bump because, like I said, these were those big Hallmark ornaments of, like, you know, Santa and stuff like that. And so when this thing fell, it hit me and actually left a bruise on my forehead from that. And the funny thing is that we've told this story to one of our friends, and so at Christmas, this was before Christmas when the tree fell on me. But one of our friend's wife, she made an ornament, and she got like a little figure of a guy, and she glued a tree on top of his stomach, because that's how the tree fell on my stomach. So we still have that ornament of a guy laying there with his hands, you know, up and his legs open and the tree on top of him. So we always put that ornament up as well. So those are my Christmas memories. Getting drunk, drinking Maker's Mark, and having a tree fall on top of me. So Merry Christmas to me. What are some of your stories? 312-981-7200. As we celebrate Elton Jim's Christmas in July, the hot weather just got me thinking of visions of sugar plums dancing in my head. And I just felt we needed a little Christmas here to cool things off, at least in our imagination. So, but having fun, some sharing some Christmas memories. And if you want to share some of yours, as I said, the text number or the phone number, 312-981-7200. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. We will be back right after this. No switching.
Silver bells. Silver bells. It's Christmas time. City. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring.
Cindy'll be Christmas Day. John Prine, Chicago's own, with his Christmas album. One of my favorite Christmas albums is the John Prine Christmas album, and that's his version of Silver Bells. If you haven't heard him sing his Christmas album, it's still available if they still make CDs anymore. I don't even know what's going on anymore with CDs, but that's one of my favorites, a John Prine Christmas. Check that out somewhere online. You can find it in this version.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time.
We're playing that because here, filling in for Nick DiGilio, I am Elton Jim. And we are celebrating Christmas in July all morning. Started at 1 o'clock, and here we are at 3 o'clock, 2 hours in. And we are sharing Christmas stories and trying to get into the Christmas spirit as we tough through a very, very hot July. I think Stevie Wonder had an album called Hotter Than July. Can't get any hotter than this. And I know in the next couple of days, the temperature and the humidity is supposedly going to come down a little, be a little more manageable, a little more tolerable. But then from what I saw just a few hours ago, watching Tom Skilling, Micah, 90s, mid to upper 90s again with high humidity, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, so I just said, you know what? We got to cool off sometime. Heck with air conditioning. We need our minds and our spirits to get a little cool off and cool off. And how do you do that? You think about Christmas. And as I said, then I was clicking the stations. I saw the Hallmark Channel were playing all their Christmas movies. So I said, what the heck? Christmas in July. If the Hallmark Channel can do it, and so can I. So we've been enjoying Christmas in July here at WGN for the next couple of hours. I'm wearing my Santa hat if you're watching on the stream. We've been sharing some stories about our own Christmas pasts, if you will. Some funny things that have happened at Christmas celebrations, some Christmas traditions, some of the best Christmas gifts that we have given. Not so much that we've received, but what we've given. And as I said, one of my favorite gifts that I've given was our cat. She passed away six years ago now. Thames the cat, but back in 1995, Thames was a Christmas gift to my wife. I gave her a card inside of a stocking, and it said that you can redeem this card for one Christmas cat. And that was, I think, one of the best gifts I ever gave my wife. And it's always fun to give a good gift. And it's always nice to receive a good gift. And one of the things I was talking about, if you remember the film Christmas Story, you know, Ralphie, the protagonist, the main kid there, he wants that BB gun, the Red Ryder BB gun, and he's throwing hints to his parents left and right. And it doesn't look like he got it. And then his father, played by Darren McGavin, sort of tells him to look in the corner. Oh, I think Santa left one more gift over there. And there it is, and he gets his Red Ryder. And just as his mom had cautioned and everyone else had told him, you shoot your eye out, kid, that's exactly what happened. But he still got his gift. And I was trying to think if there was any gifts that I wanted so bad and threw hints and was expecting to get, and then when Christmas came, I didn't. And I actually did think of one, because Christmas is always a weird time for me as well, because I was born in January 8th, 2 weeks exactly after Christmas. 2 weeks exactly after Christmas. And so nowadays people indulge. But back, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, people were a little tighter with their wallets and stuff. And so a lot of times, I always felt this was unfair because it was me. A lot of times I would get the bad combination gift, the combination Christmas and birthday gift, which I had no problems with, as long as it was a gift that was twice as big. But you don't give me one gift that covers two events, but it's only really in magnitude one gift. Because if I was born, for instance, in July, you would be getting me a separate, well, as a little kid, you'd be getting me a separate gift for my birthday in July and a separate gift at Christmas. So, yeah, I have no problems with the combination gift, even though it kind of dilutes either Christmas or your birthday, because if I get the combination Christmas-birthday gift, I'm not going to wait 2 weeks to open it on my birthday. I'm going to open it on Christmas, so now I'm not getting as many gifts on my birthday. You hear these problems? Instead of going to a therapist, I'm using you folks, and you can see why, the shape I'm in. But yeah, so, and I didn't get a lot. I didn't get a lot of those combination gifts, but I got a few of them, and I was sort of like, even at a young age, I'm like, geez, you can't spring for a better gift. I mean, it's too, you're getting a two for one here. That's not fair. So I'm thinking back. In the 70s, mid to early 70s, one of the biggest for a boy, and they sold this thing, the marketing and the commercials, in fact, I think they're even on YouTube, you can look these up. The marketing for this gift was fantastic. If you were a young boy, you know, with the age of 7 to 10 or 11, I mean, everybody wanted this that year that it came out. And it was a very disappointing gift, but on television, it looked amazing. It was this thing called Electric Football. And I don't know if you've ever seen this. Dan, have you ever seen Electric Football?
Yeah, I had one when I was a kid.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were still making it?
Yeah.
Really? Now,
it is the thing where you turn it on and it vibrates and then the players just kind of move around.
And so on television, the commercial for this made this look like it was the greatest thing on earth. It was this giant football field that was basically, you plugged it in, it was just kind of like, it was metal, and like Dan is saying, it just shook. But it looked cool, it had all the hash marks, and the 10th, the 10-yard line, and it had the field goals, you put the actual goalposts in, and then you got two of your favorite teams, you know, and it showed the little players, and each player was on this little pedestal, this little stand that for some reason it was made of plastic with these two little pieces of like hair plastic that's how they somehow made these players move. And on television, you would set up your players in a play, you'd set them up in a formation, and then you'd hit the button, and you know, the running back would go through the hole and score a touchdown, or you know, the quarterback, that was the biggest scam. It showed this quarterback throwing this felt ball, and it actually one of the other guys, like a receiver, catching it for a touchdown. So, I mean, when you're a little kid, you see this, and this is unbelievable. It's football come to life in your living room. And on TV, the commercial was I can't believe that these guys didn't, whoever made that, they should have got sued for, you know, untrue, deceptive advertising, because this thing looked amazing. And just like Dan said, now, were you disappointed when you played your electric football?
You know, I could barely remember. I do remember, because I was pretty young, but I remember the gameplay was lacking.
Yeah. So it took 20 minutes to set up all these players in the defense and the offense, and then you turned it on and it shook. And then the players would just shake, and then like, so you, on television, like I said, the running back would run in, you know, and score a touchdown or go through the two hole. Well, in the real game, your guy, he would turn around and go the other way. There was no rhyme or reason. Wherever this thing shook, and the guys just went everywhere. There was no sense to it. The quarterback did not throw this felt ball to anybody. Oh, so disappointing. And I'm going to have to share the end of my story after the news, because we are creeping up on the 3 o'clock hour already. So I'll tell you the ending of my electric football Christmas story after the news.
A time to share, because it's Christmas, for now and forever, for all of the children, and for the children in us all.
Jim Tirano with you here at WGN. 7:20 a.m. in Chicago. Filling in for Nick DiGilio the last three nights, or three mornings, I should say. So today is the final jewel of the Triple Crown, if you will. The hat trick. So I've really enjoyed being here the last three nights. Thanks to Dan Long for doing a great job producing as well. And thanks to you for listening very closely and calling in at this time of the morning. It's great that we've got any phone calls, so I really appreciate that. Lots of texts coming in as well. So I appreciate you staying up with me. As I said many times this week, hey, I'm here. Oh, I'm staying till 5. What are you doing? Where are you going? So just, you know, keep the radio on and sit in a comfortable chair. Maybe you're just laying down on the couch, or maybe you're in bed, but just keep the radio on and enjoy as we enjoy Christmas in July. Yes, an Elton Jim Christmas in July. Boy, given this warm, muggy, oppressive heat we've been having the last week or so, it brought me to the point of saying, I wish it was Christmas. I'd like to make a snowman or have a snowball fight. I know wind chills are bad. I know, and I hate driving in the snow, and I hate shoveling the snow, so believe me. But when it's this hot, oh, would I love to just jump in the snow and make a Christmas angel right now. Oh, so hot, so sticky, so muggy. Oh, how many showers do you take a day? Whew, man. As I said, I was doing some yard work the other day, and I was out there for about an hour and a half. And when I came in, I mean, my clothes, I had a T-shirt and shorts on. My clothes were drenched. So I put them down in the basement so they could get washed. And I saw them today. They're still wet. Oh, so that was a key to me. I'm like, you know what? We're going to at least, if we can imagine, we can't feel it for real yet. We can begin to at least get our minds imagining Christmas. And maybe there'll be a chill. And maybe our noses will get a little red with a little cold somehow to cool us off. But you know what? At the same time, it's always fun to talk about Christmas, right? And it's always fun to have that Christmas spirit 12 months out of the year, not just 2 weeks or maybe one day. So here we are, right smack dab in the middle of 2018. So what better time to enjoy Christmas in July. Like I said, I'd like to thank everybody who's called in so far, sharing some of their Christmas memories. If you want to call in and talk Christmas, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I was looking at some of the texts, and I was talking about gifts that you always wanted and didn't get. One texter said that there was a Tony doll that she wanted. And she didn't get it, and she wasn't happy. Another person, I was saying how my birthday is on January 8th, 2 weeks exactly after Christmas. And so I would get these combination presents by a few people, and then a lot of times they were only one present worth. It's like, hey, gang, I have no problems getting the combination present, but then it should be a double present. It's, you know, in magnitude. Now I'm just talking about being expensive, but wow, it should be a killer gift because it's for two events. If my birthday was in August, you'd be getting me a gift in August and then you'd give me another Christmas gift at Christmas time. So if you're going to give me the combination gift, no problems. But let's just make sure that it's one hell of a gift. And but somebody was saying that their birthday on the text was saying that their birthday was on December 19th. Says, this is from 224 area code. My birthday is December 19th. One year I got one sock for my birthday and the matching sock on Christmas Day. Wow, now there's some parents with a sense of humor. Wow. I didn't get that, at least. I didn't get half a present on Christmas and half on my birthday. I got the double present on the Christmas. As I said, a lot of times my birthday, I didn't get as many presents because I got this combination present. That's another reason why my birthday has never really been a big deal to me. I think it's because it's so close to the holiday of Christmas that it got lumped in. And everybody, you know, my birthday party for our family and stuff was always, my mom always had it later in the month because between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day and Christmas Eve and New Year's, how many times are you going to keep seeing these people in the month and a half? So she gave everybody a break, which is fine, but then, you know, it sort of diluted my birthday. And that's why I'm really not big on birthdays. And I think this double birthday or Christmas gift sort of adds to that melodrama. But so as I said, I wanted, I don't know what year it was, 72, 73, whatever it was. I was a young kid. Electric football, and everybody wanted this game. As I said, the commercials for this made this game look amazing. And you can go on YouTube and just hit electric football, and you could find the commercial. And tell me if you were a 7 or 8 or 9 year old kid, if you were watching this commercial, you wouldn't salivate. It was like bringing a football game into your home. And it was the most disappointing gift when everybody that got it, when you share stories about electric football, everybody says the same thing, worst game ever. But my goodness, when they advertised it, did they do an amazing job. As I said, you set up the players. They gave you these players in the different uniforms. You had the goalposts. You had this big electric field. You hit the on button, you plugged it in, and the thing shook, and the players moved. And on TV, they actually moved like they were blocking and throwing and running. But in real life, your running back would just turn around and go the other way for some reason. And it was the most disappointing thing that I ever got. But here's the thing. It was so popular. I threw hints to my mom and dad. I was so sure I was going to get it. On Christmas Eve, just like Ralphie, it wasn't there because my mom and dad didn't go out early enough and it was such a popular game. It was gone. So I did get, that was another combo present, but instead of getting the combo present on Christmas, which most of the time I did since it was the time of giving, and then I didn't get as much on my birthday, I didn't get my electric football on Christmas. I got it 2 weeks later on my birthday. Which was cool, which was fine, but I tell you that one. I remember that Christmas, and when I opened up those boxes, I saw the game at the store, and the electric football game came in a big box. And when I did not see that box under that tree, let's just say that a young Elton Jim was not happy. We have another combination birthday story here from Jan. How you doing, Jan? Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Very good. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Yes, well, I like warm weather, but I don't like cold weather. But I had the combination Christmas birthday gift as well. I was born in January. That's why my name is Jan.
Oh,
they were
really?
Real creative.
Is that why they named you Jan?
That's it.
Is your real name January or just Jan?
Jan.
Just Jan. Okay.
Plain Jan for January.
Oh, how funny! What is your actual date? What date are you born?
January 19th.
Okay, 19th. I was born on the 8th. Are you a Capricorn?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, me too.
And I got the same deal when I was younger. You know,
your birthday
is so close to Christmas. This is a combination Christmas birthday present. And I always felt like I was cheated, although I was an only child. So, you know, all the presents were always mine under the tree. So that was a good thing. But it was always the combination. So I got sick and tired of getting sweaters all the time. I wanted something summer-like for my birthday. So when I got older, I said, how about some gift cards?
Oh.
And I would save them the summertime.
Oh. Smart.
When I got older, but when I was younger, I was like, what do you mean it's a combination?
Oh, wasn't that the most unsatisfying and can kind of mean thing? Like, wait a minute, if I was born, as I said before, if we were born in July or in September, we would get two separate presents. We wouldn't just get one combo, and many times the combination present wasn't two presents worth.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No. Here's your sweater. It's a combination Christmas birthday.
And I'll tell you, in my case, I got to tell you, Jan, I actually feel sorry for you because January 19th is far enough away from Christmas where you should not be. You see, like I said, mine is the 8th. I was exactly 2 weeks after Christmas. So I can understand why someone would say, well, here's a combination present. And as I said many times, because of the glut of holidays toward the end of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and New Year's, we see the same people. So my mom would have my birthday party, even though my birthday was on the 8th. Many times, my mom wouldn't have my birthday party until like the 28th of January just to give the family a break. Because how many times are we keep seeing these same people?
Yeah, exactly.
But my point is, at least, you know, my birthday was only 2 weeks after Christmas, but yours is almost a month later.
I know.
I would throw a flag on that. Oh, no. You were getting gypped.
I got gypped.
Yeah, you got gypped. That was 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks later, you deserved two separate presents.
I sure did, and big ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jan,
yeah.
we are fellow Capricorns, and we share our pain.
Yes, but I got smart when I got older and, you know, saved the gift cards, and then that way I'm like, look, now I have my own birthday present in the summer.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, that is such a good, I never thought of that. Because that's true. I'm thinking about all the clothes gifts that I got.
Right. That
yeah.
was winter.
I never
that
got
was
a,
winter clothes.
Yeah, I never got a pair of shorts for my birthday.
No.
I never got a T-shirt. It was always a coat or a sweater
yes.
or a jacket.
Boots.
Yeah, boots. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I never thought of that, but you're right. It was always a winter thing.
Right.
Oh, Jan, you're getting me now. Now I'm actually more mad than I was before.
Sorry, but I'm laying here listening to you, not sleeping, thinking about getting up for work and going, there's somebody else that gets it.
Yes. Oh, no, believe me, if you were born in late December or early to mid-January, oh, yeah, we share each other's pain. There is no doubt about that. Yeah, and I'm telling you.
Good.
And what I want to say on these airways, I'm using 50,000 watts right now to say, people, if somebody, and I and Jan, I'm putting my arm around you right now.
Thank you.
Jan and I are telling you right now, if you have somebody in your family who has a birthday in late December or early January, and in Jan's case, January 19th, completely unacceptable, completely unacceptable.
Right.
But if you've got somebody born there, no, you don't do the combination gift. You buy them two separate gifts, and you celebrate each event for their own sake. You don't do the combo. It might be easy on you, but I tell you, I mean, Jan, I'm not going to ask your age, but clearly, look at how we remember this.
Well, I won't tell you my age, but I was born in the late 50s, so I'm still scarred, apparently.
Because I'm saying we are still scarred. This is not a joke. We still remember this stuff.
Yes.
And you think it's just, oh, it's no big deal. But it is, even though it might not think, it is a big deal.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
So you know, like I said, me and Jan are saying no combo gifts.
No combo gifts. Let us have a separate day.
Yeah, let us have 2 days to celebrate, not just one.
Exactly.
Well, Jan, I'm giving you a big hug.
Thank you. And thanks for the therapy.
Yes, very good. That'll be $145.
Thank you.
And one gift card.
There we go.
And if you buy me a gift, I better get two.
That's right. It better be two.
Okay.
And, yeah, none of that. And maybe how about, you know, something, a summer-like gift later on.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, very good. Happy birthday and Merry Christmas, Jan.
Yes, Merry Christmas, happy birthday, and thanks for the therapy, Jim.
Very good. Take care. We've got Bill on the line. Bill's got an electric football story. I can't wait to hear this. Bill, how you doing?
Yeah, in 1951, at Christmas time, my brother got the electric football set, and I'm visually handicapped, so I was in Indiana, so I had to go away to school. I went down to Indianapolis, and for Christmas, he got an electric football set, and I said, oh, man, I wonder what I'm going to get. I got a set of luggage because I had to borrow luggage to go down to school.
Oh, jeez. Oh, you sound like Charlie Brown. I got a rock.
I got a real nice set of luggage.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care how nice it was. It was an electric football.
Right. Well, the thing it was, too, my birthday was the 12th of December, just on like 13 days for that, and I got nothing for my birthday.
Yeah, so did you get the combination gift, too?
It was a combination,
too?
See,
I mean, once again, I'm so glad that I'm providing some therapy here for all of us combination Christmas people. This was not a good deal, gang.
No, but you're right, Jim, about the electric football game. You would turn the thing on, and nothing would ever go right.
It was terrible.
And remember the guy that had the spring on it with the kicker? You put the little cotton football in the little thing, and you set it on there, and you're supposed to kick the ball?
Yeah, right.
It'd wind up halfway across the room.
Oh, and remember the quarterback threw a pass with that ball on the commercial, and a guy actually caught it. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, right.
When this game came, I mean, and I remember because it was so, when you opened that box, it was so impressive because you had this, you know, this big, giant football field.
Oh, yeah, right. So, all marked and everything.
Yeah, it was all marked with the hash marks. Yeah, you put the, and then all these bags of stuff. You had the two teams, and you had the goalposts, and you had to do all this stuff. You had to put the little pedestal with that plastic green little, that little pedestal that they sat on that made them move around, and you set them up. It took 20 minutes for each play.
Right.
You remember you had to set every guy up.
You'd line them all up.
Oh, yeah, and you're acting like, oh, I'm going to put this guy over here because he's going to block over there. Yeah, right. You turn the damn thing on. Yeah, and the, like I said, your fullback would start to move straight, and then he would turn around and go to your goalpost.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, what's happening here? Oh my!
You're right. It was a lot of fun, though. But
it was the coolest game. I mean, everyone wanted it. I finally got it for my birthday instead of Christmas. So I was a little disappointed on Christmas Day, but my gosh, I think I may have played as much as I wanted that thing for months. Mm-hmm. I probably played that thing three times because it was just such a pain in the butt to play,
it was
so frustrating. And everybody that got it says the same thing.
We got the point. We would put the men on there and we'd run races.
Yeah, exactly. You could do your own Olympics. You're not playing football here.
Yeah, right.
I mean, my gosh, and like I said, you know, on television, the guys would block and the hole would open and the running back would go through and he'd run down the sideline like, oh, this is going to be awesome. It never happened.
No, it never went that
way. If anything, the guy went right out of bounds and then he got stuck on the side of the game and just kept drilling himself into the side of the game.
I will have to say the following Christmas, though, I forget what my brother got, but I got a Gilbert Erector set with the electric motor.
Remember the Erector nice. Set? Yes.
Yeah, I got that the following year.
Well, that's not bad.
So I guess I kind of made up for it from the luggage. But
so what did you get, the Samsonite it. Or the American Tourister luggage?
I don't remember the name now.
Well, thanks for...
I just remember it was just brown luggage.
Oh, God. Brown, even worse.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my brown, God. Right. You were Charlie Brown. I got a rock.
Right.
Well, thanks, Bill. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, right? Okay.
Happy birthday. We got Phyllis here on the line. Phyllis has a birthday on the 26th of December. Oi!
Oh, it's not good.
No, it can't be good. I mean, I thought January 8th is bad. December 26th has to be horrible.
Well, we live in southern Wisconsin, but my parents moved up here in the 50s from downstate, the very tip of Illinois. And we never traveled on Christmas Day. There were no gas stations open.
Oh, God.
And I get car sick.
Oh, geez, this is the most depressing Christmas story I've ever heard.
So I was either drugged or puking, or sickly feeling, and you can't take your toys with you to play there because you've got five kids,
right.
Mom and dad, stuffed in a station wagon, and your luggage.
And I assume you did get the combination Christmas birthday presents, right?
Oh, yeah. My grandma 1 year met us with a birthday cake for me, which was nice, but it was decorated with the Holy Family on it.
There's nothing like a birthday.
And Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, there's nothing like a birthday cake with the nativity scene.
Yep.
Here, happy birthday. So, we got you the three kings.
It was. There was good things about it, too. It wasn't all bad. And I look back on it now, and I think, you know, at the time, I hated it.
Right. Oh, I don't blame you.
I still make that trip at least once a year. I almost lost my dad this spring, but he recovered enough to go visit at his class reunion in
Maine,
so I was glad about that.
Well, that's good. Well, Merry Christmas and happy birthday, Phyllis.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that. A birthday cake with a nativity scene on it. That is classic. I love that. Here, we got you a stable. We got you a manger. Happy birthday.
It's better than the Good Friday birthday cake.
I guess, but not much. Yeah, here's the crucifix. Oh, jeez. Oh, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. I'm Jim Tirano. Filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here till 5 o'clock. We are celebrating Christmas in July, and I'm having a ball. I really am. Thank you so much for sharing some of these Christmas stories, good or bad. Bill and Phyllis. Bill got luggage and Phyllis got a birthday Christmas cake with a nativity scene on it. Fantastic. We'll be back after this. No switching.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Jim Toronto with you here. Elton Jim's Christmas in July. Trying to get some visions of sugar plums dancing in your head amidst all this oppressive heat that we are in the middle of. I know it's supposed to be a little more tolerable the next couple of days, but then next week it's going to be back in the 90s again. And we've had this string of 90s the last several days. And, just made me think of colder, cooler days. And then that got me thinking about Christmas time. And I said, why not? Let's have a little Christmas in July, Elton Jim's way. So that's what we're doing. And I appreciate everybody calling in and sharing some of their Christmas stories. And I'm looking at the texts here. And, I tell you, this whole combination birthday thing, which I am a member of, my birthday is on January 8th. And so, as I said, as a kid, I frequently would get the combination gifts. And I'm just reading some texts here. And many people... we are sharing our pain, fellow December and January babies. And one person even said they were born on New Year's, is it New Year's Day or New Year's Eve? And they said, oh my God, oh yeah, January 1st, absolutely the worst time to have a birthday. Even as adult, my family was all hungover and tired, so we had to have my birthday a week later. And he got the combination, or she got the combination gifts, just like I did. Yeah, I mean... if you're born within a couple of weeks before or after Christmas, I think you're going to wind up getting those combination birthdays. Now, I don't know if that's the case now. I think people are a little more sensitive to kids' feelings, you know, as we live in this Oprah generation where everybody is in touch with their feelings and everybody's worried about things. But back when I was a little kid, no one really cared. They were worried about themselves and, oh, my God, I'm too busy and... well, let's just buy him one gift instead of two. His birthday's around Christmas anyway. As I said, I had no problems with the combination gift as long as it was a gift that felt like it was two gifts. Because if I was born in July or August or September, you would have bought me a gift then too and a Christmas gift. There'd be no combination. So I have no problem with the combination gift, but just let's make sure that it's a gift worthy of a combination. But yeah, if you're actually born on the holidays, I said I was born January 8th, exactly two weeks after Christmas, so it's close enough. But wow, if you are born on one of those days, like on Christmas or the day after Christmas or on Christmas Eve or on New Year's Day or on New Year's Eve, that's got to be tough because those are big celebration days that I don't care how popular you are, I don't care how much your family loves you. You know, Christmas is Christmas. And they may carve out a little time for you, but, you know, it's not only your birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. So until you start, turning water into wine, I think you're going to have to take second fiddle if you're born on Christmas Day. But, anyway, we are, what I love about sharing Christmas stories that sometimes they're all not warm fuzzies, and that's what I love. I'm not a warm fuzzy guy. I like the little dark side of things, and so I'm loving some of these stories of people actually, you know, saying, geez, it's not as great as it should be. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do love Christmas, and I, as I said, I love Santa. I'm wearing a Santa hat right now. At Christmas, I wear my Santa coat, and I have my Santa hat, and we've got, our whole house is pretty much red and white with Santas everywhere, dolls and, ornaments, and you name it, so... as much as I complain and make jokes about it, at the end of the day, I really do love Christmas, and I am looking forward to it. Even though it's July, I'm looking forward to Christmas this year. Shouldn't we all? And shouldn't we have that Christmas spirit 12 months a year? Oh, isn't that what we always hear about? So I'm helping to spread the Christmas cheer a little earlier in July. Elton Jim's Christmas in July. And as I said, thank you to everybody who have stayed up this morning and shared your Christmas stories. We've got another hour and a half or so. And before 5 o'clock, as I said, I've got my script. I did a production of It's a Wonderful Life about 12 years or so ago, and I played Mr. Potter in the show. And so I have my script, so I thought it would be fun to relive some of those great Mr. Potter George Bailey scenes. So I will be reading both George and Mr. Potter and bringing some of those to life for you. So I hope you stick around for that. We got a few other things. I will actually give you some of the dates to look forward to. It's Christmas in July, but it's not too early to start planning. For instance, the Magnificent Mile Festival of Lights, you know, the big parade that's on Michigan Avenue with Mickey Mouse and everything. November 16th and 17th this year. Mark it on your calendar. November 16th and 17th. The Christmas tree, Chicago's Christmas tree lighting, which is now Millennium Park, which I was calling for years. If you recall, even just a couple of years ago, they were jamming everything into Daly Plaza. They had the Kris Kringle Market, they had the Santa's house, and they had the Christmas tree in this little postage stamp of a space. It was so crowded, it was ridiculously jammed in there. This was like a mishmash. Nothing really stood out. I was screaming for years, move the tree to Millennium Park. You've got a rink there. You want to draw people to Millennium Park. Yes, there was a time when the main cultural and main meeting part of this city was right in the middle, downtown, right outside of City Hall. Those days are gone. You've got this beautiful Millennium Park. Use it. Draw people there. And finally, I think last year or the year before, they finally moved the official Chicago Christmas tree to Millennium Park. So so at least now that Daly Plaza is a little less crowded, and now it's a destination to go to Millennium Park for the holidays. All this room, now the tree is able to be enjoyed and to have all of its majesty on its own, as opposed to sharing, you know, and being jammed in this small little spot. So finally, the city fathers and mothers realize that it's time to fix that. So the tree lighting will be sometime in mid to late November. They don't have a date for that yet. However, the Kris Kringle Market that is in Daly Plaza will begin on November 16th and run till December 24th. So once again, mark that on your calendar, November 16th through December 24th. The Kris Kringle Market that is both not only in Daly Plaza, but there's also one in Naperville, and there's also one at Wrigley Field in that new little picnic area that they have, that little triangle. I don't know what they call it now, Wrigley Way or something. Didn't it just get sponsored, Dan? Didn't they sponsor that?
Yeah, it's Gallagher Way.
Gallagher,
now,
yeah, Gallagher Way at
Wrigley.
The whole
thing is a corporate buzzword.
Yeah, is it Gallagher Way at Wrigley Field? Or they still kept Wrigley in the name, but that was kind of unfortunate they do that. But they do have the Kris Kringle Market there, too. So once again, November 16th through the 24th. Navy Pier's Winter Wonder Fest begins December 1st and runs through January 6th. There is caroling at the Cloud Gate. That's the Bean, of course. November 23rd through December 14th, caroling at the Bean. That would kind of be kind of cool. Lincoln Park Zoo has its Lincoln Park Zoo Lights on November 23rd through December 9th, and then nightly from December 14th. It's on the weekends, just from the 23rd through the 9th of December, but then nightly from December 14th through January 6th. So that'd be kind of cool to walk through the zoo in the wintertime and have the whole thing lit up with Christmas lights. It must look nice. And then finally, of course, as I said before, Millennium Park has that ice rink there, opens in November and stays there till March. So once again, not too early to start planning your Christmas events as we celebrate Christmas in July here. I'm Jim Tirano. I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'll be here till about 5 a.m. or so. Then we give it to Steve Grzanich and the opening bell, and then he hands it off to Justin Kaufman, who is filling in for Steve Cochran, and that will be at 6 p.m. But I've got the controls here until 5 a.m., so we've got about an hour and 15 minutes to go. Hope you will continue to join me. As I said, in a little while, I'm going to do some scenes from It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter and George Bailey. I did want to share a quick story, too, about gifts. So you talk about, you know, I was talking about, you know, being born on January 8th and, you know, getting this combination gift. But I do this, once again, that was scarring. And a few people called in with who had those combination birthday Christmas things, and we still remember them decades later. So this stuff does really count, and it does really stay with you. And this is another thing that stays with me. I had to have been, I would say, four or five or six, very young. Santa comes, we're all there. I'm an only child, so we would, you know, we'd have our extended family. So I had my cousins there and, you know, all the relatives at my one aunt's house. And I remember, I don't know who Santa was that year, you know, but I remember sitting on Santa's lap in the living room, everybody standing around. I remember the tree in the corner, and I remember Santa giving me a gift. And, of course, when you're a little kid, especially that young, 4, 5, or 6, I was on the younger side, I'm sure. I remember being very young, because it's only just vague. It's just, in my memory, it's just pictures, you know. It's not like the full film in your mind of a memory. I just got pictures of this happening. But I do remember the moment when I opened this gift that Santa gave me. I opened it up. It was a box of coal. It was literally a box of coal. They gave me a box of coal. And that was, I mean, I don't know if that's even a joke anymore now, but if you be careful, you know, before it was like, if you're not good, you're going to get coal in your stocking. I don't know what I did that year to deserve coal, but they literally gave me a box of coal. Now, I did later get presents, but I mean, I'm sitting on Santa's lap in the bosom of my family, and I open this box that Santa Claus hands me in his white gloves and his big suit, and I open it with excitement and anticipation, and it is coal. I still remember it. This stuff does really scar you, folks. As I said, I got my presents later on in the evening, fine. But they gave me a box of coal, okay? Not to sound like Charlie Brown, but my gosh.
I had a similar thing. I think I have a vague memory of this. I got...
That's Dan, our producer here. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I had got like a little baggie with some coal. It was, I don't know if it was pure coal, right, but there were black rocks that looked enough like coal with my other stuff. I think it was like my parents' way of firing a warning shot at me.
But devastating, right?
It was shock. It was a shock to the system. For
exactly.
Sure.
Now, at least yours were sounded like the little pebbles. Mine were literally like charcoal, a box of charcoal. It was all wrapped up very nice. And there was, and I could even remember it moving around. And then I opened up, and there's like a box of charcoal. I still remember it. It was devastating. What do we've got here? We've got Roger on the phone here. Let's take a call from Roger. Merry Christmas, Roger.
And Merry Christmas to you, Jim.
Thank you.
A very good friend of mine, her birthday was on the 28th of December.
Uh-oh, very close to Christmas.
And, yeah.
Very close. And,
yeah, she made it very clear as we got along in our relationship that if I was going to give her a Christmas gift and a birthday gift, it certainly better be separate.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is not, you know, I talk about if people that don't, you know, they don't have this problem, you don't realize for those of us who are born around Christmas time, this is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So did you do that? Did you make sure that you separated and you gave her each day had its own specific meaning and its own specific gift?
Absolutely. And it actually worked out pretty good because, of course, I buy her a nice Christmas gift. And then, of course, the sales start right after Christmas.
All right.
So I go out and get a much better gift at a better price for her birthday.
Right, the next day, all those sales start. Yeah, all those sales start the next day after Christmas.
Exactly. Oh,
so you actually did, yeah, that was actually pretty good for your pocketbook, too.
Yes, it was. And then my birthday is in February, February the 14th.
Okay, now you, oh, so your Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So I would usually end up buying more presents for other people for Valentine's Day
right.
than I would get, you know, for my birthday.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm telling you, folks, I mean, parents, if you're parents-to-be, look at the calendar, okay? And you know, count 9 months and find a time when there's not a real big holiday. You know? I mean, that's my advice. Just, you know, say, you know, I mean,
back when I was born, I'm 70 years old. Back when I was born, that wasn't a real, you know, a real big deal.
No, but it is now. But I'm just saying, you know, like August, there's no real big, August is not a bad time to have a birthday, you know, because
yeah, exactly.
It's far enough away from Christmas. It's right in the middle of the year and there's no major holidays that you're getting. So I would say, and then plus, if you think about the whole conception thing, hey, to have a baby in August, that means you know, you'd have to get working in, you know, November, December, right around the holidays.
Yeah.
So, who could ask?
Very true.
Yeah, who could ask for anything
Jim
more?
Jim, it was good talking to you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Roger. Merry Christmas. Hey, that's what I'm saying. I would say everybody shoot for August. Shoot to have your baby in August. And when I say that, I mean that literally and figuratively. You've got the holidays, you know, November and December. You know, you're going to get a few bottles of wine, a few bottles of champagne, crack those open, get by the fire, and get to work. And this way you have the baby in August. No holidays, perfect, because all this scarring that I'm talking about here won't happen. With an August, I have yet to hear from one August birthday. Nobody born in August has called in to complain about getting combination birthday presents. So it seems to me, Dan, when's your birthday?
I am a September.
September's not bad either.
Yeah,
there's no major, really? Is there a major? Well, what is there? Labor Day?
Yeah, Labor Day.
But still, yeah. That's not one. There's not where you get congregated. You don't get gifts for Labor Day. So that's a good one. Your mom and dad, obviously, not to get personal. We're, you know, Christmas, get in the mood and Christmas, maybe around New Year's Eve, for all we know.
Sure.
That's when the big day was. And here you are 9 months later. So August and September, not bad for a birthday. You're lucky. But as I said, I'm not getting phone calls from anybody scarred for life born in August or September. So keep that in mind, parents. I know you can't plan these things, but at least, you know, at least set out on your quest for a September or August baby. And then, you know, once again, the fates, you know, no matter, to quote a song, whatever the fates allow, we'll see what happens. But shoot for a September or October baby. Once again, you can conceive around the holidays, which is nice. And then you have the baby in August and September. No major holidays, no combination birthday presents, and no trauma for the rest of their lives. I think if you're having a baby in August or September, now that I think about it, you are giving your child the greatest gift of all. You're really being a great parent by planning ahead. So I'm just planting that seed, no pun intended, with you. If you're planning to have a baby, shoot for August. Shoot for September, for the baby to be born. Not the conception process. Baby needs to be born in September or August. So this way, because I don't even want to get close, because now, you know, you can't even say October because Halloween's becoming a big deal now. So I'm saying no. I'm saying August or September. At least have that as a plan. So at least try. Because as I said, I'm getting phone calls from a lot of us combination birthday people, combination Christmas birthday people, and this is a bigger epidemic than I thought. I mean, there may need to be a hotline, a combination Christmas birthday hotline. Sounds to me that we could use those of us in that situation. As I said, my birthday is January 8th. From the calls I'm getting, a lot of people, we could use somebody to talk to around, you know, January 4th or December 22nd when we get our combination presents. We need somebody to talk to, so maybe we should have a combination birthday Christmas present hotline. It's 1-800-MISTLETOE is the phone number. I'm Jim Toronto, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Be here for another hour or so. Phone number is 312-981-7200. I've really had a fun time swapping and sharing Christmas stories and getting into the Christmas spirit, hearing some of those Christmas songs as we celebrate Elton Jim's Christmas in July, July 6th. And we are celebrating Christmas here for the last 3 hours, and we're going to have one more to go. As I said, after the break, or after the news at 4, I'm going to help bring Mr. Potter and George Bailey to life. I'm going to read a few scenes between George and Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. I played Mr. Potter in a production of It's a Wonderful Life about 10 or 12 years ago, and there's some really fun scenes to do, so I thought I'd bring my script in and read both parts and help to bring that wonderful life to life right here on the airways. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN 720 in Chicago, filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. We'll be here another 55 minutes or so, hand it off to the opening bell, and then Justin Coffin fills in for Steve Cochran at 6. If that song sounds familiar, it is Buffalo Gals. It is the title sequence to the opening of the classic Christmas holiday film, It's a Wonderful Life. Frank Capra directing, Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, Lionel Barrymore. It wasn't even a big hit when it came out, but thanks to public television in the mid-80s, that became a holiday tradition, a Christmas tradition. It was, for a long time, just sitting on the shelves. And Channel 11 and other PBS stations started to play it every Christmas, and now it's become a must-see when you are you're getting into the Christmas spirit. So I thought about 10 or 12 years ago, I appeared in a production of It's a Wonderful Life. I played Mr. Potter. Not that Mr. Potter.
Let me live again.
Whoops. Let me take that off. And so I thought it'd be fun to sort of do some of these great George Bailey, Mr. Potter scenes, which will really get you in the mood. And who knows, maybe in the midst of all this heat that we're under for the next week or so, wouldn't it be fun to have Christmas in July and throw on your copy of It's a Wonderful Life if you have it on DVD, or if you can find it on Netflix or something like that? It might be cool to do that, because we are celebrating Christmas in July with all this oppressive heat. I thought it would be a good idea just to get into the Christmas spirit and think about chillier, colder wind chill days with snow and Christmas and Yuletide. And so what better way than to bring to life It's a Wonderful Life. So let's cue the sound effects there. Ooh, it already sounds scary, doesn't it? It already sounds cold, doesn't it? So in this scene, in the play, It's a Wonderful Life, at least in the script that I have, you remember that Peter Bailey, George Bailey's father, passes away, and he and George have a confrontation in the building and loan about whether it should close or open. But in the play, it actually happens at Peter Bailey's funeral outside. And so that, of course, is why we transport you now to a graveyard, a cemetery in Bedford Falls. It was nice of you to come, Mr. Potter.
Well, I'd say that Peter Bailey was the building and loan here in Bedford Falls, George.
I agree with you, Mr. Potter.
Of course, he wasn't a businessman, and that's what killed him. Oh, I don't mean any disrespect, George. God rest his soul. Peter Bailey was a man of high ideals, so-called. But ideals without common sense can ruin this town. So, at our next Board of Trustees meeting, I'm going to make a motion.
A motion?
That's right, a motion to dissolve the institution and turn its assets and liabilities over to receivership.
But Mr. Potter,
now take this loan application the boards to act on this morning. To Ernie Bishop, you know that fellow that walks around all day, sits on his brain in that taxi cab, and delivers our mail, usually late, because he's always stopping to talk to everyone on his route. Well, anyway, I happen to know that the bank turned down his loan. He came to the building and loan, and we're willing to build him a house worth $5,000. Now, why is that?
Well, I handle that, Mr. Potter. You have all the papers there. I mean, his salary, his insurance. I can personally vouch for his character.
He's a friend of yours, huh?
Well, yes, sir.
So, if you shoot pool with the manager's son, you can borrow money. What does that get the building and loan? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
And all because of a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey.
Stir them up and fill their heads with a lot of impossible ideas. Now, just a minute here,
Mr. Potter. You hold on. You're right when you say that my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this cheap penny-ante building and loan, I'll never know. But neither you or anyone else can say anything against his character. Because his whole life was a... Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this institution, he never once thought of himself or saved any money. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Just remember this, that rabble that you're talking about, well, they do most of the working and the paying and the living and the dying in this community. Well, it's not too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms with a bath? Well, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, my father died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book, young man. I'm talking about the building and loan.
Yeah, I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something that you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Well, thank you for stopping by, Mr. Potter, and I'll see you at the meeting.
But you're not on the board, George.
Well, I hold my father's proxy, and so I can attend, and I can cast a vote. You see, the way I look at it, Mr. Potter, the people of this town need our family's one-horse institution, if only to have some place where they can go without crawling to you.
Get me out of here! Sentimental hogwash! And I'm still going to make my motion, young man, and we'll see who has the power in this town.
And so that sets up the confrontation between George and Mr. Potter, and as time goes by, George, of course, we know the story, continues to go through different trials and tribulations, and he's keeping the building and loan alive to the point where he's really starting to bug Mr. Potter, and so Mr. Potter has a little plan up his sleeve.
That Bailey family has been a boil on my neck long enough. Send Bailey in. Good morning, George. It's good to see you again.
Hello, Mr. Potter. This is quite an unusual request.
What's that?
Well, you're calling me to pay you a visit?
Oh, I don't know what's so unusual about it. I just thought that the two of us should get better acquainted. Here, have a cigar.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. I mean, this is quite a cigar.
You like it? I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I find out sooner or later, but just what exactly do you want to see me about?
Now, that's just what I like so much about you, George. Look, George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so it makes it all even. Now, you know just as well as I do that I practically run everything in this town, except the building and loan. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it. or kill it, but I haven't been able to do it. You have been stopping me. In fact, you have beaten me, George. And as anyone in this town or this country can tell you, or this county can tell you, that takes some doing. Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest. Well, yes, Mr. Potter, well, most people would say that you stole all the rest. Oh, the envious ones say that, George. The suckers. Now, I have stated my side very frankly. Now, let's take a look at your side. Hmm? A young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week? 45. 45, fine. 45, out of which, after supporting your wife and your mother and paying your bills, you're able to keep, say, 10. If you skimp, a child or two comes along and you haven't even, won't even be able to keep the 10. Now, if that young man of 28 was a common, ordinary yokel, I'd say he was doing pretty good, pretty fine indeed. But George Bailey is not a common, ordinary yokel. No, he is an intelligent, smart, ambitious young man who hates his job, and a young man who hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. A young man who's been dying to get out on his own ever since he was born. A young man, the smartest of the crowd, mind you. A young man who has to sit by and watch his friends go places because he's trapped. Yes, sir, he's trapped into frittering his life away playing nursemaids to a lot of garlic eaters. Now, do I paint a correct picture or do I exaggerate?
And we continue with our visit back to Bedford Falls and Mr. Potter and George Bailey in the scene that we just were doing. George Bailey is meeting with Mr. Potter, who seems to be cozying up to George. Or is he?
Yes, sir, he's trapped into frittering his life away playing nursemaid to a bunch of garlic eaters. Now, do I paint a correct picture or do I exaggerate?
Well, now, well, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point? My point is, I want to hire you.
Hire me?
I want you to manage my affairs. I want you to manage my properties. George, I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of nice clothes and a couple of business trips to New York once a year, maybe once in a while to Europe. I mean, you wouldn't mind that now, would you, George?
Would I?
You're not talking to somebody else around here, are you? I mean, you know, this is me. Remember me. This is George Bailey. Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, provided he has the brains to climb aboard.
Well, Mr. Potter, what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man! Are you afraid of success? I am offering you a 3-year contract starting at $20,000 a year. Now, is it a deal or isn't it?
Well, Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder, would it be possible if I could... You can give me 24 hours to think it over?
Sure, George. Sure. You go home and talk it over with your wife.
I'd like to do that, sir.
Yes, in the meantime, I'll draw up the papers.
Well, all right, sir.
Okay, George?
Yeah. Well, okay, Mr. Potter.
No, wait a minute. Just wait a minute here. I don't have to talk to anybody. I know right now, and the answer is no. God, dog it. You sit around here, and you spin your little webs, and you think that the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing more but a scurvy little spider. You and... You know, and that goes for you. And for you, too.
And George scampers out.
And then, of course, George goes and meets Clarence, the angel, and now George is desperate. Well, before he actually meets the angel, George is desperate now. Uncle Billy has lost the money, and George doesn't know what to do, and he comes, comes to Mr. Potter for some help. And now Mr. Potter is certainly in the driver's seat. I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I need help. Through some sort of accident, my company's short in their accounts, and the bank examiner's up here today, and I've got to raise $8,000 immediately. Oh, is that what the reporters wanted to talk to you about? Reporters? Yes, they called me up from your building and loan. Oh, and there's a man there from the DA's office. He's looking for you, too. Please help me, Mr. Potter. Help me, won't you, please? I mean, can't you see what it means to my family? I'll pay you any sort of bonus on the loan and any interest. If you still want the building and loan, I... George, what could it possibly be that there's a slight discrepancy in your books? Well, no, sir. There's just nothing wrong with the books. It's just I've just misplaced $8,000. I can't find it anywhere. You misplaced $8,000? Yes, sir. Have you notified the police, George? Well, no, sir. I don't want the publicity. I mean, Harry's homecoming is tomorrow, and well, they're going to believe that one. What have you been doing, George? Playing the market with the company's money? Well, no, sir, I haven't. Well, what is it then? A woman? You know, it's all over town that you've been giving money to Violet Bick. What? Not that it makes any difference to me, but why did you come to me, George? Why don't you go to Sam Wainwright and ask him for the money? Well, I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe. Well, what about your other friends, George? Well, they don't have that kind of money, Mr. Potter. You know that. You're the only one in town that can help me right now. Ah, I see. I've suddenly become quite important to you, George. Well, what kind of security would I have? I mean, do you have any stocks? No, sir. Bonds, real estate, collateral of any kind? Well, I have some life insurance, a $15,000 policy. Yes, and how much is your equity in it? Well, $500? $500? Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. Well, what are you but a warped, frustrated young man? A miserable little clerk crawling in here on your hands and knees and begging for help? No securities, no stocks, no bonds, nothing but a miserable little $500 equity and a life insurance policy. Why, George, you're worth more dead than alive. Hey, why don't you go off to that riffraff that you love so much and ask them to let you have a $8,000 loan, huh? You know why? Because they'd run you out of town on a rail, that's why. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, George. Since the state examiner is here, as a stockholder of the building and loan, I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Malfeasance of funds. Manipulation. Misappropriation. No, Mr. Potter, no. All right, George, go ahead, go on. You can't hide in a little town like this. And Merry Christmas in jail. And that's a little slice of its of wonderful life, Mr. Potter and George Bailey. Boy, I just love doing that. I love playing Mr. Potter. What a great role. Lionel Barrymore playing Mr. Potter, and of course Jimmy Stewart playing George Bailey in the classic film that you will be seeing about 5 or 6 months from now, and which you got a slice of hearing right now as we celebrate Christmas in July right here at WGN. I'm Jim Toronto, your humble and lovable Christmas host for Christmas in July this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We've got about a half hour to go, and then we will go back into reality of 80 and 90 degree temperatures. But for the last almost 4 hours now, we've been nestled and snuggled tight in our beds with dreams of sugar plums dancing in our heads.
Not many of you guys are in trouble out here. And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And welcome back. Elton Jim Toronto with you here this morning, filling in for Nick DiGilio. And from starting at 1 o'clock, we have been celebrating Christmas in July. And I've had a great time. I hope you have too. Just celebrating a bit early. About 5 months early or so. But given all this hot weather and this oppressive heat, I thought it'd be nice to start to get just a little feeling of what it might feel to have some wind chills, actually. And maybe a little snow and have a snowball fight and a snowman. And then, of course, it's visions of Christmas. And I said, why not? Christmas in July. And for the last 3.5 hours, we've had fun sharing some different little Christmas things, some Christmas stories about traditions and Christmas gifts that you always wanted and Christmas gifts that you've given to other people. And her little snippet there of little radio theater, if you will. I love doing my my Mr. Potter and George Bailey. I hope you enjoyed that. And one thing I was talking about was the combination birthday Christmas gift, of which I am a victim. And I use that word correctly, a victim of the Christmas and birthday tradition, because my birthday is January 8th, just 2 weeks after Christmas. And many times when I was growing up, I would get a combination Christmas birthday gift. And many people have called in and texted to say that they were in that same boat. And I suggested that maybe any future parents out there, it seemed to me that a September or an August birthday might be the best, because there's no major holidays there. It's far enough away from Christmas, so no chance for the combination birthday present. So if you were planning on having a baby, you might plan on August or September and get to work in maybe November or December, if you know what I mean. But I'm going to the phones here now because David said August ain't all it's cracked up to be. Good morning, David.
Good morning. So well, I've had enough time to compose a major thesis to shoot a hole in your theory. My birthday's the end of August. And so you spend all summer looking forward to your birthday, and by the time it comes around, the summer's over and it's time to go back to school.
And I forgot about this. I forgot about
and
the school.
So,
aspect. Yeah.
My father was a volunteer fireman, and they had their fireman's ball the end of November, the beginning of December. So as the oldest, you know, your first birthday parties are lavish because you're the oldest child, the oldest grandchild. So there's German chocolate frosting on everything. You become addicted to it. So then all three of my brothers are born in August, the 5th, 6th, and 7th of August.
Wow, your parents are busy around the holidays.
So they end up, you know, have a big combined birthday party. My sister, the youngest, is born the end of July. So as the little girl in the family, her birthday ends up being, you know, a grand thing. So that by the time your birthday comes around now, you're nothing more than a babysitter for the kids, an example. They resent you because they wear your hand-me-downs. You resent them because the older they get, they didn't get any discipline because you know, whatever. And so when your birthday comes, it's time to go back to school. So for presents, you get going back to school presents.
Oh, that's, yeah, right. Okay. So now, yeah, so then, it's always seen. So that's, I never thought about that, but yeah, birthday presents reflect, whenever you're born, your present reflects the season that you're in.
Right.
Because everybody, that's all people can buy.
And then since my father's birthday is September 3rd, mine got combined with him, and the German chocolate cake was gone. He liked pumpkin pie. So now I even resent Thanksgiving because I hate pumpkin pie.
Oh, my gosh. David, this is not the heartwarming Christmas story I was expecting.
No.
Well, get off the ledge.
And okay.
Life is worth it, and just hang in there. But obviously, what David is kind of conveying here, and what some other people have, including myself, is that some of these things that go on early in childhood, people don't maybe think it's a big deal. But clearly, we remember these things for decades. It is a big deal.
Well, at least in Chicago, you can order a pizza 24 hours a day, so that's good. to get over it.
Well, I guess, I don't know, based on now your information firsthand, you say now that August or September is not even a good time for a birthday, so maybe there is no good time of the year to ever have a birthday. There is no good month.
Well, I think, and my mother would say being pregnant for literally 2 years of her life during the summer was no, in years where you didn't have air conditioning, was no treat either. So.
That's true. Well, lighten up and Merry Christmas, David.
Okay.
Hopefully you'll have a good one this August.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care. Wow. See, that's the best part about the holidays, too. That's the dark side of that. We don't like to talk about the holidays, We all get them dressed up in our finery, our gay apparel, if you will. And, we put on a good face and, oh, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. And meanwhile, clearly there's a lot of stuff bubbling right under the surface, and it doesn't take a lot for that to bubble to the top. Just a little scrape, and that stuff starts oozing out or spraying out. As I said, I just brought up this kind of, idea of the combination Christmas birthday present, but I didn't expect it to get this kind of a reaction. So let me just say Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's have a good time this Christmas. But yeah, that's what's funny thing. That's why that Seinfeld episode is so great with Festivus, because George Costanza's father creates this alternative holiday. And if you remember, some of the great tenets of Festivus, of course, is the airing of grievances and then the wrestling. And I love when Mr. Costanza goes, the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. That's where some of the calls, I think, did I say that this was Festivus? Dan, did I say Festivus in July or Christmas in July? Because I was getting a lot of Festivus calls, I think.
Well, they go hand in hand, I think.
I guess. I mean, it was, the battle of strength or something? You have to wrestle.
Feats of strength.
The feats of strength and the airing of grievances and, of course, the silver pole are all the tenets of Festivus, according to Frank Costanza from Seinfeld. But yeah, there are some of those airing of grievances that do go on during the holidays, especially after a couple of Maker's Marks, or in Dan's case, a couple of Knob Creeks. So that's the other side of the holidays, but we're not going to celebrate those. We're going to celebrate the more fun aspects of it. As I said, I wanted to do a Christmas in July show just to offer something different and really provide a little escape, because we are in the middle of a real honest to goodness heat wave here, and it's going to be cooling off for the next couple of days, but then it's coming back in full force on Monday. The last I saw was the extended forecast through Thursday, where it was 95 and 96 and humid again. So, if in any way over the last 4 hours we've been able to at least create some kind of imaginary cooling and a little frigid temperatures, so your nose feels a little frostbite and your hands feel a little tighter there, and maybe there's a cool breeze blowing by, or maybe even a wind chill, or maybe you can even feel the wet snow on your feet. It's anything better than some of the heat that we've been dealing with. So that's why we've been celebrating Christmas in July since 1 o'clock this morning, and we'll be finishing up in about 50 minutes. And after that, at 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich will be
hitting that opening bell. And at 6 o'clock, Justin Kaufman will be filling in for Steve Cochran. So keep it tuned right here to WGN 720 AM. And you will hear that and a whole bunch more.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. Beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
So amidst these 80s and 90s temperatures and the high dew points and the humidity and the oppressive heat, isn't it just kind of nice to
song as we roll along, walking in a winter wonderland.
To think of a winter wonderland scene? That's what we've been doing for the last almost 4 hours, celebrating Christmas in July here at WGN. I'm Jim Toronto, filling in for Nick DiGilio, and I've had a ball just getting in the Christmas spirit in the middle of July. As I said, my wife and I actually did a Christmas in July one year. We put up a tree and we exchanged presents, and I thought I would extend that to the radio considering the oppressive heat that we've had, and it seems like Christmas and cold weather is so, so far away. But my gosh, next week it would be fantastic to just jump into a pile of snow and make a snow angel and just sit in there, frostbite and all, wouldn't it? Anyway. So as to cap off our Christmas in July program here this morning, I thought it would be great to have a reading of perhaps the one poem that that best conveys the feeling of Christmas. And of course, it's the classic poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And I found this online, and I just can't believe it's almost like a Christmas gift in itself. Who better to read the classic poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," but somebody whose voice and whose persona was almost made to read this poem in all of its Yuletide glory. Here's "The Night Before Christmas," read by Bob Dylan.
Now here's the real deal. A visit from St. Nicholas. "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When to my wandering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them my name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, come Comet on, Cupid on, Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. And dry leaves that before wild hurricane fly, when they met with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys they had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him insulating myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. And I heard him explain ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Bob Dylan reciting "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Now that, if that didn't put you in a Christmas mood, I don't know what would. And I heard him exclaim, "Merry Christmas to all." You gotta love Bob Dylan. The best part is, of course, Bob Dylan is Jewish. And Bob Dylan has a Christmas album. And Bob Dylan reads the "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Now that was my early Christmas gift to myself, finding that online and playing that for you. I hope you enjoyed it, and I think that's the perfect cherry on our Christmas Sunday here as we close our Christmas in July show. Christmas in July, Elton Jim style. I hope you enjoyed it. Starting at 1 o'clock, we had just a nice time. I really enjoyed all the phone calls and the texts. And you guys really got into the spirit of it, no pun intended. And I really appreciate that, playing along. And I hope you had a good time. And I do hope that maybe we were able to spread a little Christmas cheer here in July. And maybe give you a sense of a little chill. Because, my gosh, we are in the midst of one of those Chicago dog day summers. I thought usually this happens like in mid-August. We're getting it at the beginning of July. And so I just was like, I got to do something to cool myself off, even figuratively, if not literally. And what better way to cool off than enjoy a Christmas in July? And as I said, my wife and I have done a Christmas in July once. We set up a small little tree, and we exchanged gifts in the middle of the month, and it was kind of cool. And it's kind of a nice little midway point before that big event at the end of the year, because, my gosh, you know, we do need a little Christmas right this very moment, right? So much stuff going on in the world today. And as I said, outside right here in Chicago and around a lot of the country, the temperatures and the humidity are really, really climbing up there. So I hope you were able to get a little Christmas right this very moment. And I hope you enjoyed it. And because I certainly did. And as I said, who knows what will happen pretty soon. I'm just thinking about, you know, once again, we're talking about how oppressive this weather is, and then all of a sudden, we are really going to, you know, it's going to happen, folks. It's going to get chilly, as it always does, and then the snow will fall, and you could start to make your snowman and your snow angels and have your snowball fights. And then, of course, we will all be complaining how we wish it was 90 degrees, and we wish it was 74% humidity. And we hate this snow, and we hate the cold, and we hate wind chills. And we all want to go to Hawaii. I was thinking about it last year when I was shoveling. Thank God we haven't gotten a lot of snow the last few years. I think we have like 30 inches last winter. That was nothing. But I do remember as I was shoveling, and I really hate shoveling snow. I don't mind the look of the snow at the holidays and throughout the winter, but, oh, the shoveling is really, I'm so tired of it. And it dawned on me, my father had a heart attack when I was like 10 years old. And so after that, I started to have to shovel the snow. I'm an only child, so, I mean, it came up to me. My mom wasn't going to shovel it, so I started shoveling the snow at around, you know, 10 years old. And we didn't live on a big estate or anything, but it was just a regular bungalow on the northwest side of Chicago. But, you know, for a 10-year-old kid, you know, the gangway from the alley all the way to the front, and the garage in the alley, and then the stairs and the sidewalk in the front, it was enough for a 10-year-old. And as I was shoveling my driveway, I was saying to myself, boy, am I tired of doing this. And then it dawned on me, I'm tired because I've been doing it for more than 40 years. Think every year I've been shoveling snow for 40 years. Oy. And so, yes, I'm sure in a few more months, 4 or 5 months, I will be shoveling. But right now, I would kill for a pail of snow. Or, as I said, would it be great amidst all this heat if somehow we could just walk into a spot where you can just plop on your back and do a snow angel for about 5 minutes? Frostbite be damned. I would just love to lay in some snow, especially it looks like on Wednesday and Thursday and maybe even Friday it's going to be in the high 90s again. But anyway, I hope that we've been able to get a little bit of Christmas right this very moment to you. So I hope you enjoyed an Elton Jim's Christmas in July. And if you've been listening for the last 3 days, thank you for listening. I've been here on Wednesday, Thursday, and today is my last fill-in for this week, filling in for Nick, who's been taking off a couple of days. I also did the WGN Nightside show last week and filled in for Matt Bubala. So it's been fun to be back on the radio here. It's been a while. And I love doing this so much, and I really appreciate you sharing your time and sharing your early morning. For those of you who stayed up and who called in and texted and who have listened these last 3 days, I really do appreciate it. Hey, as I said, I was up. I hope you stayed up, too, and I hope it was worth your while. And so let me just say this one last time before we throw it to the news. As I said, opening bell with Steve Grzanich will be starting right after the news, and then Justin Kaufman will be filling in for Steve Cochran at 6 a.m. So one last time, let me just say to you, Merry Christmas! Yes, I know it's July, but I will say it again. Merry Christmas and Merry July, Christmas in July. And you know what? You can go to the Hallmark store right now and buy Christmas ornaments. They're out. You can go online and order them. In fact, I went online. There's two that I want. If you're thinking for Christmas gifts for me, 4, 5, 6 months in advance, a nice Dick Dastardly and Muttley ornament in the Mean Machine in the Dick Dastardly car from the Wacky Racers cartoon, or the vintage Batman Frank Gorshin Riddler ornament. Yes, there is a Frank Gorshin Riddler ornament this year and a Dick Dastardly and Muttley in the Mean Machine ornament. Those are just the two that that really caught my eye. So if you have any ideas of getting me a Christmas gift, that's it. And yes, someone did text, I am wearing my festive pin. It is not a brooch. It is a festive pin.